across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
No, no, I've said... No, I'm not. No, I'm not going. No, we will continue after the news. I've decided... Oh, you tell them, tell them. I will still be here after the news. You tell them that. And they can still phone me. Right.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat.
Jake Yap, in for late night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I do not know who this Jake Yap is, but we will continue to talk about the situation in the world here on Talk Radio for as long as we need to. It is me, George Galloway, still here, still taking your calls on 0344-499-1000. We need to talk about democracy in this country, about those festering human bags of pus in the House of Lords. These privileged rat kings, this vermin gnawing on the electrical flex of the British working people. We must drive them out of their castle made of gold with their swimming pools filled with champagne. And we must tell them that I am the best orator in the business because my dad is a policeman. Morning! How are you doing? Nice to see you. Hey, is Ed warming up his food? He is, isn't he? So I can't play stuff off my lap. It's fine, I'll do it in a bit. Doesn't matter. Good evening, it's Jake Yap here in for Ian Lee. I don't know what happened there. I think Ed left the line up for George Galloway. Wasn't he fabulous? And did you know, as in the news today, I've been in the news all week, I don't know why it took The Guardian so long to pick up on it, but George Galloway's landed a book deal, kids! Yes! For kids, the Good Pirate books. A publishing deal for a series of children's books about an ethical pirate who travels the high seas around Indonesia with his family. Once upon a time, there lived a band of plucky pirates who eschewed the so-called democracy of the so-called West and decided to live in a free, fair, egalitarian, sea-based commune outside the laws which protect commerce and not the people.
I could do that all night. That is so much fun. That's a joke. Now I see why he does it. It's a lot of fun, that. Anyway, how exciting. I look forward to reading his stories. They sound like a lot of fun. Funnily enough, his fourth wife is of Indonesian heritage. And now he's writing some books about pirates and high seas. Anyway, 0344-499-1000. The number we're calling, the question we're asking, that's the number you're calling. The question we're asking this evening is, well, it's very simple. Mum or nanny? Mum or nanny? I mean, come on, you saw it. What was it? Mum or nanny? Mum or nanny? That's the question. 0344-499-1000. And, yeah, you saw it. Was it the mum? Was it the nanny? I think it was the nanny. Other people are saying it's the mum. Either way, it's a bit creepy. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call if you would like to have your say on that one. Hey, you know who we haven't heard for a while? Ken in Newcastle. Hello.
Good evening, Jake.
Good evening, and how are you? Evening.
I am your very good Scottish accent, by the way.
Oh, come on, it was terrible.
Oh, no, I thought it was quite good.
Proper accent. Scottish, that was. It was awful.
Oh, no, that was a good job you did. But listen, Jake, if you don't mind...
Well, I might mind. Well, we'll see if I mind. Let's see if I mind. I might not mind.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
I've just listened to the George Galloway show. I listen to him quite regular.
Yeah.
And I've come to the realisation that it's a hateful, bile-filled programme, and all he seems to do is speak abuse about people. It is a shame, actually. I'm ashamed to say he's a Scotsman.
Oh.
There seems to be no sense of fairness with the man. He's got
I'm not sure if I agree. I mean, I think that he's a man of conviction. You might not agree with his convictions, but what he rails against is what he perceives as being an inappropriate use of power.
Yes, he's entitled to that. We're all entitled to our opinions. However,
why doesn't he call in? 0344-499-1000, George Galloway.
Hello?
Hello, yes, carry on, yes.
Yes. Tony Blair, George Osborne, Donald Trump, Theresa May, name it, Israel.
It's like he's in the room.
He incites hatred against these people. He's inciting hatred, in my view. It's a shame what he does. And I'm not speaking about him personally, but you shouldn't be allowed to incite hatred against people. He incites hatred, and you can hear it in his voice. It sounds like a snake, actually. He's hissing like a snake. There's hatred in his heart, and it's a shame.
Earlier on this week, you gave quite an impassioned speech about what you perceive as being the evils of abortion.
Yes.
I mean, when you see someone like George Galloway, who you feel, you know, spews a lot of hatred.
Yes.
I mean, do you ever wonder to yourself, maybe, you know, you would look the other way in that case? I don't know. I'm asking you.
No, I don't. I'm not saying that in hatred. I'm saying that when I speak against abortion, I'm speaking there for the sake of the people, the babies who are killed. There's no hatred involved. But when George Galloway speaks, it's just hatred. All he does is hate, and he abuses people.
Do you not think he wants a better future? Is that not what you think?
No, but we're talking here about it. When you abuse people and they can't respond, it's not fair. If he's going to say something bad about somebody, he should be able to allow them to respond. That's
he always opens the invitation out to all the people he's talking about. He always says, if you want to come on and talk about it, he says, debate me. Come and debate me.
I've offered to come on. He's afraid to let me debate with him. He's afraid.
Is he?
He's a bully. He's a bully, and bullies are cowards. But I found that out. I'm 71 years old, and I found out in my life, bullies are always cowards.
Okay.
He says, if you're hard enough, come on. Well, I'm not thinking these secular terms hard enough, but I wanted to come on and challenge him about his hatred, and I wasn't allowed on.
Hang on. So you phoned up to try and get on George Galloway's show?
Yes, I don't get on.
Number one, Ken, I'm hurt. I'm hurt by that. I thought we had something quite special together. Anyway, number two... what happened? Was it out of time? What time did you call?
Oh, I phoned in the first hour of the end of the first hour, when he was berating, mocking George Osborne. He was speaking about George Osborne because he's making a lot of money now. Man, that's none of his business. It's just to be jealous.
But he would argue it was his business, because we've elevated George Osborne to that status. It's through his public service that he's attained that position, and now he's getting all these nice jobs. And, you know, I think it's definitely worth investigating, you know, what agreements were put in place when.
Well, I'll tell you what, but 2 weeks ago there was a whole programme on, he was berating Mr. Blair, and he was giving out fake news, for example.
That's quite a serious allegation there, Ken.
I'm making it as fake news, I'll tell you what it was. He was saying that Mr. Blair and Mr. Bush are entirely to blame for the problems right now in Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan and Libya. Well, the problems that happened today are nothing to do with Mr. Blair and Mr. Bush.
What's the cause of those problems? What's the cause of the problems, Ken?
The Muslims are hating one another. The Shia are fighting the Sunni. It's an old, ancient religious war that's taking place. Now, Mr. Blair has nothing to do with this. The Iraq and Iran slaughtered about 2 million of Muslims, slaughtering Muslims. The war right now, the evil that's happening in the Middle East is caused by the hatred between Muslims. And that has not been addressed, honestly.
Some would say it was about us not having a proper military sort of objective in place and then just pulling out without leaving a proper governmental infrastructure in place. Some would say that, but, you know... I'm not really qualified to have that conversation. You should definitely talk to George Galloway. That would be.
But
he wouldn't let you on.
He wouldn't let me on. No,
he's
too embarrassed.
So fraught.
He barred me. He claims to have free speech. He doesn't let me on to speak to him. It's a false claimer. It's a lie. He does not allow free speech, the man.
Crikey.
So he's telling lies on the radio.
Dan on Twitter wants to know if you're, you know, hurling these accusations of someone being a bully and a coward and that they practice fake news and stuff. Are these terms of love, Ken? You don't sound very loving right now.
I am not loving tonight. I'm totally disgusted at what's happening. Mm. This is a weekly thing when he incites hatred against Israel.
Mm.
He incites hatred against Israel. He incites hatred against Donald Trump. Mr. Blair, he seems to really hate him. It's sad how this can be allowed. Mr. Blair tried his best. He cannot be blamed for the trouble in the Middle East. It's because the Muslims are hating one another.
Wow.
Sunni are killing Shia. That is the problem in the Middle East. Not Mr. Blair or Mr. Bush.
Yeah, but
that's
it was funny when George Galloway was in Big Brother there, wasn't it? Did you see that? When he was pretending to be a cat.
I wrote to George Galloway. I've told George Galloway I love him, and I mean that sincerely, and I love being a goodwill towards him.
And there's nothing wrong with that, Ken. I think that's a rather beautiful thing, love between two Scotsmen. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, he's a precious soul. I'm not against him personally.
Ah, so...
It's a shame to come on and be consistently inciting hatred against people.
Mm.
I don't come on to this radio and incite hatred against anybody. I tell people I love them, we're trying to help one another. Mm. Well, people don't like me because I'm a Christian, but I don't get angry at them. But to allow this man on every week to incite hatred against other politicians is not fair. It's not right. And he incites hatred against Israel. It's continuous.
Well, I think he's offering another point of view, you know, and it works because, look, the purpose of some of these shows on this network is to get a conversation going. You know, we want to talk to you. We want to hear your point of view. And what's brilliant about George's show is that it's worked because you are desperate to engage in that conversation. When I start talking about, oh, what's your favourite design of crisp packet, it's slightly less engaging than what George Galloway's got to say. So, to be honest, he's kind of doing his job. If he's got you feeling like that, that's exactly his remit with his show. So, I would say he's done rather well there.
He's good at his job. He's very good at it. He's got a PhD in this work.
Ken, I'm going to let you pick tonight's safe word because, you know, you've been so consistent here this week. I would like you to choose the safe word for tonight's show.
The safe word? In what sense do you mean?
Well, what we do is we have a word which we establish within the first half hour of the show. And we say, right... that's going to be the word that if anybody hears something they don't like later on in the show, all they have to do is tweet or text that word to us and we'll stop and we'll move on to something else. So what would you like to choose as today's safe word?
Today's safe word,
yeah.
I would say patience.
Patience.
Patient. Be patient. Now, let me just say here, Jake, if you don't mind, I want to clear this up here.
Okay.
I am not against Mr. George Galloway. He is a precious soul to God. I'm not against him personally. I have great concern.
We'll take a break.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
You talk of patience. Have not the British public had enough of being patient, waiting for their paymaster? I'm sorry, I can't take any more of that. Really can't take any more of that. Good evening, everybody. Should we say that now's the start of the show? Okay, fine. The great Raimondo said, I couldn't type patience fast enough. Happily you took a break. Oh, come on, hey now, come on. Have some patience, yeah? And the French tickler simply tweeted the word Satan. I'm not sure. Come on, you know, guys, come on. I mean, you know, come on. Guys, come on, guys.
Sheridan says, hi, Jake. Ken makes a fair point. Bullies are cowards, especially those who use religion as ammunition in their bully. All right. All right now. Come on, guys. Let's play nice. Honestly. Should we talk to Angela? Let's talk to Angela. I press the thing, right? And then it goes through the thing. Yeah. Hi, Angela. How are you?
Evening, Jake. It's Jake, isn't it?
It's whatever you want. I've taken far worse. And the night's young, you know. It could go right. Yeah.
Can I just come into George Galloway's defence? He was polite all the way through the show.
Mm-hmm.
And my nephew said, oh, he's a polite man. He said, yeah, it can be. You have to be polite because that's his show.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't very angry with anyone. It's because Ken just doesn't understand that they don't want to hear about the Bible anymore.
Well, I interviewed George Galloway once. He won't remember this. And this was before he'd sort of become who he is now completely. But I think he'd been an MP, or he was about to be. I think he just failed to become an MP. And I said, well, you know, what have you got as a fallback career, George? This was before talk radio had launched, long before that. I said, well, you know, what are you going to do, George? And he said, well, I am in the middle of writing a biographical musical called Dusty, to which my immediate response was Springfield or Bin.
Mm-hmm.
And to my disappointment, it was Dusty Springfield. But you can't win them all, can you?
No, I guess. I mean, I did fall asleep halfway through it because I wasn't very well. I've been poorly all week. That's why I haven't been able to call you up.
Oh, what's been wrong, Andrew? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right now. I just had a bit of a kidney infection and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, well.
And Josh, my nephew, woke me up. He said, oh, your man stood up. He said, he's nice. And he went back to his, whatever he's watching, but he was polite to everyone. Every week he is.
Oh, I agree. Well, look, his party's called Respect, for crying out loud.
Yeah, we just get really fed up with the Bible in my face 24 hours a day. I tell you what, I get it from all walks of life. I said, look, I can outdo him, because I know my Bible off by heart.
Do you? What's your favourite Bible passage?
None of them, but my faith, hang on, another thing he doesn't mention is the prophet Ruth, a lady, and Mary, and Ruth's sister, and there's quite a few prophets in there. Come on, Ken.
Yeah,
come on, if you're hard enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's look at the King James Bible.
Yeah, King James Bible, yeah. Mm.
I mean, I'm quoting for it now. Yet she multiplied her whoredoms in calling to remembrance the days of her youth, wherein she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. Well, we've all gone on those package holidays, haven't we?
Yeah. I think her sister's name is Pneumonia, wasn't it? Pneumonia?
Your sister's name was...
Not Pneumonia. What was her sister's name? Rufus' sister's name?
Oh, you are asking the wrong guy.
Beginning with N, anyway, but... Yeah.
Mm. Well.
Because he can't get on, he slags him off. Because he's just got a show to do, hasn't he, really?
Well, exactly. It's a gig, isn't it? It's a gig.
Mm.
At the end of the day. What do you do, Angela, when you're not having kidney infections?
I'm partially disabled. Well, I used to be a care assistant.
Oh, right.
Reception work,
yeah.
And I've done some business studies.
Some business studies.
I've done media work. I had to go on the radio.
Oh yeah.
The weather.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
That's a skill. That is a skill. Doing the weather is hard. People don't realise that. You know, they sort of laugh at weather people, but they've all got like degrees in oceanic mathematics and stuff.
Hmm. Because I had to finish the weather off to get my certificate. I did a little bit of jealous, like going out interviewing people.
Nice. That's quite hard, that.
Yes, really, because I'm quite a shy person.
Mm.
You wouldn't think it, though, would you?
It's hard doing that when you go out and have to interview people in public.
Mm. Oh, it could be a nightmare. I did that once and it backfired spectacularly. I probably can't talk about it. But it was pretty awful. Yeah. I did a thing. Oh, it was one of those ideas that was funny on paper, and then we did it, and it was sort of terrible. It was in the run up to the election, and we went out and filmed people. And I said, "What do you think about the Conservative manifesto has just come out? And what do you think about their policy that they're going to allow just on an individual level slave ownership? How do you feel about that?" And people would go, "Oh, that's terrible. I didn't know that was in there." I'd be like, "Yeah, it's in their manifesto. Absolutely." And they'd be like, "Really? That is terrible. Oh, well, I don't agree." And then we'd say, "What do you think about UKIP's plan to tow mainland Europe down to just beneath Africa?" I don't know. We just made stuff up. And a lot of people just fell for it. It was terrible.
Yes.
And then someone complained, and then we had to get rid of it. These things happen, Angela. I'm sure you were very charming, though.
I am. I talk to anyone, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That can backfire, can't it?
That can backfire, but I've done quite well. When I see my mates in the streets, I do a lot of like clubs anyway at the library, and I say, "You're coming." Or what?
What clubs do you do, Angela?
I do a craft club.
A what club?
Craft, knitting.
Oh, craft, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said clap. I didn't know where. I thought, well, she's got a kidney infection. You know, what next?
And then I've got my coffee morning tomorrow. Yeah. And
You've already started that.
Yeah. Mm. Colouring at dinner time, colouring club. It's to help people with mental health adult awareness week.
Oh, that's great. That's a wonderful thing to do.
It is, isn't it? And everyone keeps coming now, so we've got a group coming in now.
Oh, that's
which
great.
Is good.
Yeah.
We're doing it as a family on a Saturday, and then we're doing one in the week for just adults only.
Brilliant. Oh, well, Angela, that sounds great. Good for you.
Yeah. Got to keep going, isn't you?
Exactly. Well, you're the sort of people that we need in the world, and I won't talk about the sort of people that we don't need in the world. It's a respectful show. Angela, thank you for calling us this evening.
Thanks for letting me on the show.
Oh, no, it was lovely to have you. Thanks ever so much. That was Angela in Coventry. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. If you'd like to join in, talk about anything you like. You know, I don't care. Get all off. If it's on your chest, get it onto Paul. No, what does he say? If it's in your head, throw it up into a bucket. If you put it in the front. No, I can't remember. Anyway. It's not Paul Ross. Just ring up. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. There's a few things to talk about. Do you ever do this, right? Do you ever make up conversations on the phone? I mean, the obvious one is like when Chuggers, you know, the charity people are trying to get, because I'm not charitable. Obviously, I'm not like Angela. I'm a terrible person. I'm just broke, and I do give to charities. It's just I can't really take on any more, you know. And and do you ever do that? Do you ever pretend to be on the phone and just to scoop past them? And they know, you know, they know, and you know they know. And there's this sort of, you might accidentally make eye contact with them, and they're like, "No, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing." And you're like, "I know, you know. Can we just?" And it's like, "Yeah, okay." But I'm like, so there's that. But then, do you ever just do it for fun? Do you ever pretend to be on the phone just for fun? Like, do you ever, is this just me? Do you ever walk through I get overstimulated in supermarkets, right? Something happens in there. I think it's the bright lights. You know, because you go in and it's like a gloomy day. You go into a supermarket and it's like showtime. You know, the lights are so bright and all the colours and it's all very stimulating. My favourite thing is going to a supermarket. I go to a supermarket like 3 or 4 times a week. Love it. Brilliant. And I get overexcited, and then I get sort of giddy, and I start, you know, do you ever, like, I've walked down aisles of supermarkets pretending to be on the phone, or perhaps I'll be on the phone to a friend, and then just apropos of nothing, I'll say something like, "Well, listen, you got to deliver because those Japanese businessmen, they specifically said they wanted the heads left on." And then you let them work out. And you see people suddenly studying packets of bread, like, "I'm just going to stand here studying this bread. I need to read the instructions," or something. And you see that out of the corner of their eye, they're like, who is this guy? What kind of a conversation is that?
No, not pigeons. And it would have to be live ones anyway, mate.
Stuff like, do you never, is that just, 03444991000. I guess it's the number to call if you want to talk about that. I saw, I was at King's Cross Station today. And Martin Lewis was there. You know Martin Lewis, the frowny money guy? He does all the frowny money advice. A bit intense, but very nice. He looked very nice. And I think he was enjoying himself because, you know, how many times do you get to stand in the middle of King's Cross Station with, like, your name in, like, 4-foot-high letters everywhere, you know? And he was giving out frowny advice. I thought, that looks like a lot of fun. He had all the cameras and people in T-shirts sitting down on sofas with clipboards. Looked like a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Anyway, please tell me if you've ever made up a conversation on the phone. Please tell me I'm not alone. 03444991000 is the number to call. And after the break, we're going to talk to Julie.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
Jake here, in for late-night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Harry says, you find the supermarket stimulating and show busy? You obviously don't shop at Lidl. No, I don't. I don't shop at Lidl, but I do shop at Aldi. They do really good chocolate. Guess how much this was? 76p from Aldi.
I know. And it was total Aldi converts.
It's the new middle class thing to do, isn't it? Go to Aldi and sort of... It's awful. It's so condescending. You see middle class people in Aldi go, it's so cheap! And meanwhile, like, desperate people who half their foods come from a food bank look at them like, I hate you so much right now. And the middle classes wonder why everyone hates them right now. But we're talking about chuggers, charity muggers, people sort of saying it. And I did a thing this morning. I was at Hammersmith Station in London. And I feel so bad. I had headphones on. And so I didn't register it quite in time. But there was a guy there, a charity guy, mm-hmm. and he just held up his hand for high five to me. But I just didn't clock it in time. He just went, show me some love. And I just missed it. And it was like, it's too late to go back. And, you know, I'm swimming with the stream. There's like a shoal of commuters going through. If I'd stopped and gone back, it would have caused probably an accident. And I showed him no love. I showed him zero love.
Oh, poor dude.
Yeah. Hang on. Hi, Ed.
Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say poor dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you really feel for charity.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I have the utmost respect for them, and
you've always got time for those guys.
Yeah,
right?
Everyone I see, I really want to have a chat with them. And
Why don't you tell everyone what you told me in the break?
Well, so it was about 5-6 years ago. I was walking down the street and I saw, it was a relatively empty street, so it wasn't like I could blend into a crowd or anything, or
rabbit
in
the headlights,
quickly cross the street or anything.
Uh huh.
I saw them. Mm-hmm. They saw me. It's too late to bring out the phone and pretend I've got a phone call.
Oh, they've already got you pre-phone.
They've already seen me.
Ah.
So I was walking past, just hoping, please don't talk to me. I just want to...
Hello, sir! Can we interest you in... Have sex with... Make the pandas have sex?
You know what? This is what I said to them. I said, you know what? I just don't know what to do. I've just been made redundant from my job.
Oh, my word.
I don't know what I'm going to do. It was my source of income. I've got all these debts.
And this is a complete fabrication.
Yeah, complete fabrication. I had gone for a job interview that day because I was looking at changing jobs. And I was just like,
but
I
you
can't
had a
be
job.
Bothered. I had a job and I could not be bothered dealing with this chugger that day.
That is low.
I felt, because I always feel bad saying no, not today.
Right, so you decided to just make them feel bad for asking you for money when you just been made redundant, even though you hadn't.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way.
Wow, Ed.
Yeah.
Wow.
They were very friendly, though. They didn't ask me for anything. Yeah, so, I hope it picks. I hope the day picks up for you. Yeah. I hope things, go your way and something happens.
Yeah. Do you sleep good at night, Ed?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah, good for you, mate. Yeah. You're a big man, yeah.
Thanks. That's
so sad. You ever taken away a child's ice cream, have you?
Do I want to admit to that on it? No, I haven't.
Well, look, you've confessed. It's that sort of public penance thing. You've done that.
To that chugger.
I absolve you. In the name of Ken. Amen. Ken, I absolve you.
Thank you. And apologies to that chugger back in Auckland, New Zealand.
Nah,
who probably has forgotten about me altogether.
It doesn't even matter.
Why don't we talk to Julie? Let's talk to Julie. Good evening, Julie.
Good evening, Jake. Let me assure you, you are not alone.
Oh, really?
In the medium of a phone call of getting out of an awkward situation.
Really? Go on.
Really. Shall I share you one of the memories I've got?
Go on.
And that is, last year, we had our bathroom redone, and basically, the builder that did it bodged it up a treat. Oh. So, we went on holiday, all the tiling was wonky, some money's already been paid. Anyway, long story short, I am middle-aged, middle-class, suburban housewife, and these two guys I thought might have been chances. Should we put it that way?
Okay.
Right, darling.
Hello, darling.
Like all right, darling.
Yeah.
Put a kettle on. Next 3 cheeks. Nothing wrong with that.
I think there is something wrong with that, to be honest.
But because I felt that I was maybe perceived by them to, let's say, lack gravitas in the, are you going to sort this lot out or what? I decided that they were calling round so that I could give them, you know, verbal abuse and get them to sort things out.
Uh-huh.
But to give me extra gravitas, as they rang the door, and you can hear in the hall if you're just outside the front door. So I decided to fake a conversation to make me a bit harder. So
nice.
I pretended that I was on the phone, and I tried to kind of maybe match their speaking tones. Yeah, I know, Sarah. Yeah, well, tell her, if she doesn't pay up, I'm going to send Harry round. And you know what happened to him last week. So I'm kind of made up that, you know, maybe...
No way.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I don't know if it was, because I was saying it as I was walking to the door thinking, they'll be able to hear me, and that will make them... Oh, she's not just a nice housewife.
Yeah.
She's like someone to be reckoned. But I don't know if that works or not.
Do you think they heard you?
It's exciting.
Did they hear you?
I hope so.
Oh, man.
I don't know. I mean, they did sort it out, but...
Did they sort it out?
We did sort it out.
Oh, funny.
But possibly not as my kind of gangster mall impression, maybe.
That's a great idea. I like the idea of Harry. I'm going to keep the whole concept of Harry going.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, then
it's, Do you know, I had a really weird experience. I was in Folkestone, I think. I mean, that's weird enough, right? But I don't mean that if you're listening. I do. It's quite a strange place. I like it, but it's strange. And I was outside this hotel, quite sort of nice hotel up on the cliffs, right? All very sort of genteel, slightly sort of faded grandeur, but it's beautiful there. And... slightly incongruously for this neighbourhood, heard this car like revving really, really heavily coming down the road, right? And it was sort of, it felt bizarrely staged because this guy pulled, like, I mean, we were sort of near the junction, the end of the road, but not that near. And this guy just sort of pulled over right by where we were, and he had the passenger window down so we could hear him really clearly. And he was on the phone and he said... I mean it. That's it. I will shoot you. I'm coming round and I'm going to kill you.
I'm not joking.
I'm coming round. I'm going to shoot you right now. And then he sped off. And obviously, like, we took his license plate number and we phoned the police because it's like, what's that? Because regardless of whether he's going to shoot them or not, the guy's not in a good place right now. And even if we just need to dispatch the cuddle squad, you know, to give him a hug.
Laser Quest, something like that. Paintballing.
Could have been that.
But you can use it for good purposes. I mean, it doesn't always the medium of phone things. I've been and I was went to a gig on my own to see Beastie Boys, and I was on my own, and it's very difficult to.
That's brave.
It is brave, and so it's very difficult to strike up a conversation. Just going, "Hi, I'm just here on my own. Just don't mind if I tag along, do you?" So I used the fake phone call to good effect, and the one that I did this time was, "Oh, I can't believe you stood me up. Oh, you are not going to make it really loudly." I could see a couple of sweet looking men.
Oh, here we go.
I'll just say it in front of, "Oh God, I can't believe you're standing me up. What am I going to do here all alone? With nobody else to talk to." And, you know, and as soon as I put the phone down.
Hello, love. Who stood you up then, darling?
Are you waiting for somebody?
Who stood you up, darling?
No, as you well know. So, you know. And we're still friends today. No, we're not.
20 minutes later. No, I'm not. I'm just awful. Well, I'm glad I'm not alone. Do you get overstimulated by supermarkets?
No. What is overstimulating about it? The colours, the lights?
The lights are so bright. Don't you suddenly feel like you're
regularly?
On... Like 3 or 4 times a week, easily. And I go to every shop.
Oh,
Waitrose, Tesco's, Aldi, Sainsbury's. Sorry?
Do you do a big shop or small little ones?
No. It's like grazing. Constantly. You know, have to keep moving.
There you are. If you want to treat that and get rid of that, just go for one big shop a week. You'll soon get understimulated.
But doesn't that just take the joy out of it?
Yeah. If you want to find joy in supermarkets,
isn't there something... Well, I think it's a really primitive, primeval thing, you know? It's like, let's go to that place where there is abundant natural resources, where survival is guaranteed. It makes you feel good, right? There is plenty.
Does. Yeah, it's kind of exhilarating. Should I choose organic quinoa or normal quinoa?
Oh, on the quinoa?
No.
Do you know what? I had quinoa this evening.
I used to call it quinoa.
Everyone called it quinoa.
Yeah.
We should still call it quinoa. I mean, we're not in Chile. It's quinoa. It is British quinoa.
Yeah.
It's a bit pointless, isn't it, quinoa?
Sorry, carry on. You were there and you had quinoa tonight, quinoa tonight?
I feel like quinoa tonight, like quinoa tonight. It's not going to happen, is it?
No.
It's not going to go that mainstream. Julie, it's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you for phoning.
Thank you, Jake.
All
thanks.
Right. All the best. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not what I thought we'd end up talking about, but that's the point of the show, isn't it? That's how the show works. You just go with it, don't you? That's the one. Some people asking for Catherine's presence this evening. She will be here. Will she be here? She'll be, yeah, of course she'll be, yeah. I think she's a bit sleepy tonight. A little bit sleepy. But I tell you what, she can have a quick 4 minute night nights and then we'll be back.
Jake Yap in for late night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344-499-1000 is the number to call. And there's sort of a theme emerging, which is sort of fibs you've told in public, really. Should we talk about that first? You are
can do, yeah. I lied
Hello,
to Bob,
Catherine, good
Bob, Bob Monkhouse once.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you say?
It was meant in the best way. Well, a friend of mine wanted his autograph. No, I didn't. So I thought, most expedient thing to do, I'll go over there under an assumed name. Get the autograph in, out. He feels good about it. I feel good about it. She gets the autograph.
Yeah.
Hello, Bob.
Hey,
could I possibly have an autograph? Of course you can, my sweet. What's your name? Jackie. Oh, really? My wife's called Jackie. Let me introduce you.
Oh, no.
We had about a 5-6 minute conversation. He was such a nice man. And she was terribly charming as well. And I did feel bad because, you know, it was all based on a lie.
Oh, come on, though. But that's kind of a cute lie.
Yeah, it was a sweet lie. And he was such a nice man.
Well, I'm glad to
And he didn't
that.
Need to be.
No, he didn't need to be.
And in recent times, I've met people who I thought would be nice men who weren't.
Yeah. Sort of people who work in the world of showbiz and comedy.
Yeah. Anyway. Of which more in due course.
Yeah. I mean, I'm being a little premature now because there's 2.25 hours still to go. Good Lord. But, you know, thanks for this week.
Oh, stop it.
I've had a really great time. Now you sound like you sounded in the restaurant.
I know.
What's that all about?
Well, tell them what happened in the restaurant.
Well, we so we went for dinner.
Yeah.
Earlier, to a burger joint.
Byron Burger.
Yeah.
Dead
Byron.
Posh. You know they're posh because they don't cook the burgers through.
Look, I had the quinoa salad, which she tried to hand to you, assuming that I'd be the bloke having a dirty burger.
Massive sexist.
Here we go, gender typing. Anyway, we were talking to one of the staff there who's taking our order and something, and I can't remember how it came up, but
they said, "Oh, what brings you here tonight?"
Oh, that's right. I said, "Well, it's a very special day. It's our 9th anniversary,"
at which I recoiled visibly.
You were like, "Oh, yuck!" I was like, darling,
in a natural 9th anniversary kind of way.
Yeah, I was like, "Darling, come on,
Why are you like this?
That was awful.
Surely you could, yeah. And we sort of just carried. And what was great was they were all of them like serving up their burgers and stuff with the eyes in the corner of the sockets, just trying to catch a glimpse of the two of us.
Yeah.
So like, what's going on?
And as we left, he tried to put his arm around me. Went, oh, it's been such a lovely night. And I said really loudly, get off me.
Yeah. There's the sound of forks hitting plates. Who am I kidding? They don't have forks in Byron Burger. But yeah, it was quite fun. So, yeah, lies you've told in public.
They felt very uncomfortable, didn't they, those poor guys?
I always enjoyed whoever I was in a lift with. The minute the doors opened, as I came out of the lift with them, you know, if you've been alone in the lift, you got to your floor, the doors were open, and I would just say, well, that's the last time I buy you tights.
Tights,
yeah.
Oh, God.
And it always, when I say always, what I mean is it never ended well.
No, it wouldn't.
It took me a long time to learn from that one.
It wouldn't. Well, anyway, that was fun. So people at Byron, I'm very tempted to take Ian in there next week.
Yes!
And say to them, listen, don't mention that I was in here last week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know what you've got to do.
And
well,
I film it.
Listen. You've got to go next week and get Ian to say, oh, it's our 9th anniversary.
Yeah!
That would be so awesome. You've got to do that.
Something will happen.
And then, yeah, take your husband.
Darren's saying, what can a vegan eat in Byron Burger?
Quinoa! I'm not even
quinoa.
Joking.
Quinoa!
I had quinoa. Well, not very keen.
I did say, I said to him, what are your grains? He went, quinoa.
Yeah. Quinoa.
Quinoa.
But, you know, it's really good for you. It's such a super grain.
And then we got into how frequent your motions were, which is probably not conversation. Well, not for a dinner table, not for
brilliant.
A radio show either.
I'm telling you, I'll tell you right now, vegan pup is just amazing. It's like little rabbit pellets. You could just eat it again like rabbits. This is amazing. It's completely harmless.
Well, I wouldn't advocate
full of
that.
No, don't do that.
If we're on the BBC, we'd be saying, don't try this at home, please.
Yeah. I don't think we'd be talking about vegan poo, to be honest with you.
I would. That's probably why I went wrong.
Yeah, that's why you're here now.
It is.
Congratulations. Welcome aboard. It's lovely to have you here. Now, the other thing was... Oh, look, Dan wants to know, how was the quinoa salad? It was very nice, actually. Thank you very much.
Gritty, probably. Gritty?
Yeah, I think they just substituted it with sand.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good for you.
Yeah, it's good for you.
There's a reason why it goes 4 times a day.
Yeah, in fact, will you excuse... the other thing we thought we'd talk about...
That video.
Did you see that video?
That video is making me laugh. it's still six hours after having watched it 6 times in a row.
Yeah.
And I still can't work out what the relationship is. I think I would feel better if I thought that that was the nanny. But only because it was such a weird way that she dealt with the...
So if you didn't see it, if you haven't logged on, and we're not talking about vegan poo anymore today, to your social media platform of choice, this video got posted of a guy being interviewed on BBC News, right?
Yeah.
And he's obviously a specialist talking about Korea.
He's in a room. He's got a map on the back wall. What looks like a large white table with books on it in the corner.
Very scholarly.
Yeah.
Very professional. He's wearing a suit and tie. Ed is my fader up. Awesome. And the interview starts to be conducted, and then you can hear the interviewer's voice breaking into a smile like that because, well,
democracy scandals happen all the time. The question is, how do democracies respond?
Here comes his toddler into the room.
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting
and he's
sands
literally
in
just
the region.
Trying to push her back
the North
by the face.
Yeah, he's trying to push her back by the face behind him.
I would be surprised if they do.
And here comes the tiny baby in the walker.
Pardon me.
And here skids in nanny or mum.
My apologies.
She's on her knees as if I'm not here.
Yeah. She thinks by crouching she'll be less obtrusive.
For the region.
Hang on, that's not a table with books on. That's the spare bed.
Yeah.
Sorry. South Korea's policy choices on...
There we go.
It all kicks off, right? The baby, the person that walks in, the child that walks in, and she did swagger in as well.
Yeah.
It was like proper, almost the Lambeth walk as she walked in. She's the one that gets whipped out first, and then she falls. And then the baby in the walker is, the woman is kind of trying to roll the kid out, and she's doing it over the other kid's legs. And you can hear, I mean, it's just a mess.
Oh, that's fabulous.
There are some more graceful ways you could have done it, but thank goodness you didn't. And my favourite part of the whole thing is the final door slam at
that's the
end.
Thing, yeah. Every, like,
the
down
woman
to,
on her knees.
Down to the last frame, it's perfect with this, yeah, with this woman who then, yeah, on her knees, tries to pull the door inobtrusively shut. And it's just...
The dark side of it is that you know someone's in trouble.
nanny or mum, nanny or mum, boom boom, nanny or mum, nanny or mum, boom boom, nanny or mum, nanny or mum, nanny or mum, nanny or mum. That's the question.
Nanny or mum, both of them are in trouble.
Expert on career nanny services, potentially.
I think that we will find out eventually what happened there.
Nanny or mum? I could have done... Oh,
do you think it's nanny or mum? I would... Right, the way
it's got to be nanny.
The way she's nanny. Furiously and furtively trying to drag those kids out of there.
Yeah.
It's someone who's in trouble. So I'm kind of hoping he's her boss. Because if not,
then again,
that's a scary husband.
If I saw my children manhandled like that,
yeah,
I'd be like,
yeah, but he's the
he's
one
pushing
that,
them by the face.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He set the precedent. But
yeah, I'm such a terrible, awful, classic, cliched, indulgent, middle class Montessori, soft touch idiot of a parent. I'd be like, I'm sorry, I know this is BBC News at 1 o'clock, but... what is it, darling? Are you all right, darling? Why don't you go and find Mummy? Go and ask for some quinoa. You like quinoa? Likes quinoa.
If it had been Mummy that came in, surely she would have just picked them both up and taken them out. No messing around.
Yeah.
Instead of the, I mean, the scrabbling around on the floor.
But the Charlie Chaplin skid in on the, you know, with one leg out. Oh, it was just
they
amazing.
Slipped me yet again. That was ridiculous.
Fabulous. Hey, Jem, can you call back in? Because we can't get through to you. What, we took your number down wrong.
Well, either that or he doesn't take...
incoming.
Yeah, from anonymous sources. Or he's a spy.
Oh, lies you tell in public, right?
Yeah,
I did it today on the phone. I was waiting for the train to come down here. My phone rings, don't recognise it. It was like a Manchester number or something. I'm like, hello? And classic standard woman says... oh, hello. Yes, we're calling about the car accident that you were in recently.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And it just, I just said, oh, yes. Well, thank you very much for calling because, of course, it wasn't my fault. It was not my fault. The aliens told me I had to do it. They came down on their spaceship and and she hung up on me.
What? Cheeky mare.
And I was like, rude.
My dad's friend is quite a successful businessman. To the point where, you know, at the age of 60, whatever, he's retired.
Bill Gates.
No, it's not Bill Gates. It's called Trev. Anyway, so Trev's at home one day. And now he's a building consultant. He was a builder. And he works when he wants to.
I want to be a consultant.
I want to be a consultant.
You've been a consultant, you fibber.
I know.
Don't give it all common touch, consultant.
Well, if they want to call me that, they can call me that.
You are such a...
Anyway,
consultant.
So the phone rings one day. Trev's at home pootling around, and it's one of these no win, no fee.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had an accident at work?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he said, "Yes, I have." Why? What happened? Well, I was going up on a ladder, and had you had training on the ladder from your employer? No. Right? No, not even a course. No, not at all. Right. Well, it sounds like it's your employer's fault. He went, "Oh, yes, it's totally my employer's fault." Anyway, this went on for a half an hour. Okay, so it sounds like you've got a claim, Mr. Trev. Can we take the name of your employer? Yeah, it's me.
It's Trev. T-R-E-V.
Yeah, it was totally my fault. Oh, well, you're having me on now. I said, well, no, if there's money to be earned, I think I ought to be claiming it. So
from myself.
Yeah.
I will be representing both myself and the prosecutor.
Fair's fair. Look, you know, the fault was totally mine and it wasn't my fault. So can we claim the money?
It does work. It
I
is
do
the
feel
fastest...
sorry for those people.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's miserable. I always want to make it more entertaining for them because I sort of think...
Yeah, but I've heard rumours that they put you on a special list of troublemakers and then you get more phone calls. Me would just make me step up my game.
Oh, yeah.
It's on.
I got a call. I don't know.
Go on.
No, because it's...
All right, a friend got a call.
It was me, all right? I got a call. I adopted a tiger or something at some point somewhere. I don't know.
Why did you do that?
I don't know why. I can't care for it. I don't...
You'd never pass it off as your own.
It's in the garage. You know, I just leave it there. It's awful, really. Anyway, Jen, please hang on. We'll do you after the news. Sorry about that. Anyway, so I did that. And then, of course, what I resent is when you give some money to someone and then they're like, we could hit them up for another couple of quid. I hate that. So they rang. It was a very nice woman, actually, and she was very sweet.
They always are.
And stuff. And she said, look, you know, so great. And we just wanted, we really just wanted to say thank you. And she said, you know, you at the moment you give £6 a month, blah, 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 or whatever. If you could raise that to £24 a month, that would be, I was like, £24? I could get Sky for that. You can't go watch all the documentaries about tigers I like. Anyway, she said, it was just, we're doing a big campaign next year. It's International Year of the Tiger. I said, I think you've got that wrong. It's actually International Year of the Tiger Soup.
Oh.
Anyway, no. And anyway, she walked away in the end. But it was, you know, it was hard. I feel bad for these people. It's
bad,
a thankless
clearly.
Job. It's a thankless job. If anyone's ever done that, I'd love to hear from them. Anyway, we'll be talking to Jem after the news.
Talk Radio.
Thanks very much for listening to the last hour. And, you know, we really do appreciate it. And what would be really fantastic, if you could just commit today to listening to the next 2 hours, that would really help us out too. It's Jake Yap and Catherine Boyle. Jake Yap in for Ian Lee. Why don't we catch up with the latest news headlines, eh?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Jake Yap in for Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hello, how are you? It's Jake Abbott in for Ian Lee, and here until 1 o'clock. And thanks to those of you who have sort of stuck with the show. I completely understand that you were called on to boycott it by Ian, and I respect that. It's been a bloody hard week. but, you know, thank you for staying with it. I do appreciate that. And as always, if you want to call, 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. Earlier we were talking about the funny clip that's been doing the rounds of BBC News, where the guy, the expert on career, is talking, and suddenly walks a toddler, and then a baby in a walker, and then nanny or mum, nanny or mum, da boom boom, nanny or mum, nanny or mum, da boom boom, nanny or mum, nanny or mum, nanny or mum, nanny or mum, wee do 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 nanny or mum. I miss blankety blank. Anyway, Jem's given us a ring. I'm really excited about this because Jem has very sweetly been a long time tweeter and texter, but has this was the burning issue that prompted him to pick up the phone, and he joins us now on the line. Good evening.
Good evening, Jake.
Hi.
Hello.
Ah, it's like meeting a long lost cousin.
It is rather, isn't it?
Yeah. So, what is you tweeted? I need to talk about this video. What do you need to talk about?
It's just utterly beautiful. It's yes. The timing of the whole thing.
It's perfect.
And the fact that this guy sat in clearly a spare bedroom of his
yes.
with his world map hanging very precariously on the wall, and the daughter gets very gently shoved back because I don't think there's any malice in what he's doing. He looks like he's doing it very carefully. He's not taking his eye off the camera, off his webcam.
No, nope.
But he still managed to somehow very carefully push her back. So
yep.
The way she sort of rocks into the room, she's quite clearly happy and quite confident about going up to daddy.
Yeah,
but just this happens to be not the moment. And then she stumbles backwards and knocks into what you think is at first a desk, and then realise it's a bed because all the books fall off. And then, yeah, then the baby and the walker rocking in the background, also having a dance.
It is amazing, isn't it?
It's just utterly sublime. And then I think I think it has been concluded the woman in the background is the mum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gosh, that's interesting.
What forum were you discussing this?
On Twitter.
Oh, okay.
His wife is South Korean.
Oh, okay.
So I think it has sort of been concluded that is actually his wife.
Amazing.
But just the fact that she's clearly just trying to get in below camera level.
I know.
And to slide in. And you just sort of think a maid or a nanny probably wouldn't really be that bothered about how the guy looks on camera.
Wow. Unless the kids have slipped, you know, slipped her. They both came in with a decent
exactly.
amount of head start, didn't they?
Yeah, she's turned her back for 60 seconds, maybe 90 tops. And
the way the first one
sort of hear the panic
yeah.
coming from the outside.
The way the first one comes swaggering in.
I reckon I reckon that woman, mother or nanny, I think there was that frantic pulling up of the trousers, doing up of the zip, doing the button and
yeah,
the belt.
And
I guess now's not the time. Where have they gone? Oh, no, no, no! It's that. It has to be that. That's right. The only explanation for the delay.
She was in the loo and the banging on the door stopped for a second and she realised. Yeah.
They've gone quiet. Oh, no, they've gone quiet.
The door's been opened.
Oh, God, it's awful, though. But I also, there's so many elements of it that I love. I love the fact that what looks like a big white table with books on it is actually clearly the spare bed.
Yeah.
And the final exit, where she kind of drags...
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Poetry.
It's beautiful.
It's like Buster Keaton. I mean, it's just immaculately engineered, isn't it?
Anyway,
it doesn't miss a beat.
That's no.
The best. It's, and the fact also throughout it, that, yeah, he's maintaining eye contact and he's clearly, his utter professionalism throughout is clearly almost being overridden by his dad instincts to laugh.
Mm. Yes.
The utter absurdity of what is going on.
Yeah.
And also, in fact, he just shuffled us gently out of the way, not actually get her out of the room or try and get rid of her, just far away enough so she's not right up next to the computer. Because you know she's going to start hitting buttons.
Yeah. But it just goes to show, though, that definitely skidding around your knees makes you invisible.
Fact.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
a fact. Yeah.
No one noticed. Carry on, everyone.
As a dad who's had a small child come in the middle of quite an important conference call, video call, I have utter sympathy with him.
Oh, never do the video calls.
Fortunately, I could turn the camera off briefly and mute myself because it was several people talking and go and deal. But,
part of me, though, thinks, a big part of me thinks he would have done better and come off better if he'd have just stopped and picked them up and taken them out. And just acknowledged it was happening, you know.
But that was the sort of the beauty of it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That, you know, if he hadn't had that Buster Keaton-esque total straight face, didn't blink,
while
you know,
the chaos
nothing
in the background.
Yeah. I mean, that was the genius of it.
The occasional smirk flickering across his face, but he kept hold of it. Kept talking about that North Korean nuclear missile crisis.
Yeah. Well, look, I've posted a Twitter poll, so you can vote now. It's at Jake Yap. If you want to vote, was it Nanny or was it Mum? I know you think it was. It's pretty conclusively Mum.
Yeah.
I don't know. there's an article in the paper today that it would be good to share with you, Jen, because I know you are a parent and you were up last night, weren't you, with two thirds of your brood.
Yeah, they all woke up at the same time. Well, two of them did.
Oh, Jem, you're the one who realised that one was standing at the top of the stairs.
Like
an apparition.
Yes. It's that moment where you just sort of, something catches out the corner of your eye and they're not saying anything. And then you sort of, I'm very jumpy anyway at the time.
I'm
sort of, you know, I'll levitate half foot off the ground, opening the door and someone's coming through the other way. Mm. So when a ghost child appears at the top of the stairs, and I don't believe in any of that sort of thing, but you can't stop the back of your head from just going there briefly.
Absolutely.
And I think it probably took me about an hour to come down.
The best Viz top tip I ever read said, train your child to, whenever your friend moves house, to walk into one of the rooms and point at the corner and say, Daddy, that little boy looks sad.
Oh!
I could manage that, I reckon. They'd
anyway,
well up for that.
Look, there's this article in the paper today, and it would be good to run some of these past you, Jen. This is about parents revealing their favourite fibs and the lies. Let's not call them fibs. Let's not be coy. They're lies. Lies.
Fake news.
You tell your children. Yeah, fake parenting, right?
Alternative truths.
So a survey has found that losing... or secretly sabotaging a toy, then claiming it's broken, is the most common white lie told to children.
Oh.
Deployed by 55% of parents. Jem, have you ever done that?
Trying to think now. I tend to be a bit more brutally honest with them.
Really?
Than that.
Good for you.
That's a really annoying toy. You're not having it. When the batteries run out on things.
Yes.
When the batteries run out on things, it's, okay, I'll change the batteries of that just a moment. Just let me go and deal with this.
Sometimes a week or so later. Yeah.
Sometimes
the batteries run out within a day in my house. It's weird.
Yeah, batteries are
really...
Sometimes they'll last for weeks. Sometimes.
A day.
An hour, tops.
On something really noisy, it uses the batteries.
Some sort of ley line or something. Just sort of sucking the power.
Yeah.
I like this. This is the second most popular. Is pretending that the television or iPad has stopped working. Oh, it's... it's just stopped.
What I told my daughters was if you watch something too much on the telly, you wear it out.
You did not.
Yeah.
That is one option. The Wi-Fi occasionally fails in our house.
Oh, yeah, I bet it does. Yeah. Ours too.
Just randomly, just stop. It's incredible, particularly when they're sort of on their seventh or eighth hour of Phineas and Ferb or something.
Yeah.
It'll just go. It's really mysterious.
I have learned this amazing knack of just gently... I mean, you can barely... I can probably remove your wristwatch without you noticing now. The way I can hit the power button on a tablet, it's incredible.
Beautiful.
Other popular lies include pretending... This one, this freaks me out a bit. This is... I feel like this is taking it to a whole new level of mind messery, right? Pretending to phone the police when children have done something naughty.
That's old school, isn't it?
That's... You can't do...
No.
Because where can you go from there?
Listen, police know...
You threaten them with prison. You threaten them with prison. My wife is listening, and she has threatened
in prison.
Them with... The police will take them away.
Really?
Well, with seatbelts in cars. We're talking quite serious stuff.
Oh, seatbelts in cars, that's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My little boy's just figured out how to take his seatbelt off. It's a nightmare.
Oh, well, yeah. I think that's great, because what annoys me about my five-year-old is she refuses... I mean, she must know how to do it. My eight-year-old can do it fine, but I can't just stick him in the car. I have to mess about putting her in. Whereas, the eight-year-old will sort herself out, and she will unclick herself as well when needs be. But,
it's
high maintenance. It is.
Yeah.
And did you know that the ice cream van plays music when it's run out of ice cream?
Yeah, I've used that for years.
Have you?
Yes, I've used that for years, and it works like a charm.
Really?
Have you bought ice cream from one of...
Mind you, having said that, we don't tend to get many ice cream vans around here, so...
We've got one, and it cost me a flipping fortune. I went to buy her, it wasn't even a Cornet, because she doesn't like the wafer thing anyway, so I bought her a tub.
Yeah.
It must have cost about £6. When did that happen?
I bought my little boy a little rocket lolly yesterday in the park.
How much was that?
It was £1.60.
Is that right?
I know, it was basically frozen syrup. It wasn't even ice. It's just, it's literally, it was so thick and sugary. He didn't like it. I loved it. 10%.
In terms of lies that you tell your children, there's one that does spring to mind, which is about 6 months ago, I persuaded my eldest that scrummy was a swear word.
Scrummy. Oh, that's a great idea.
It was absolutely, I didn't realise I'd gotten away with it until a few weeks later when I was trying to get him to do his maths homework, and he got quite cross about it. And so, while my back was turned, he wrote down all of the swear words he knew, including some genuine ones.
Wow.
But right, slap bang in the middle, scrummy. I thought, that's it.
Oh,
I'm going to do that for as long as I can get away with it.
It's taken.
This is the one I pulled on Spike. He thinks this is swearing. You ready?
Oh, bonnets.
Oh, bonnets.
Bonnets.
Oh, bonnets.
Well, my daughter gave me the rundown of the swears. What you should say if you've hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Say, oh, bother, oh, blow. Or like grandma, oh, chips.
Yes, unfortunately, my children's grandma comes out with some genuine stuff. So,
yeah.
Thank goodness my kids have misheard, because I think that was a genuine one. Oh, chips.
Depends if they're in the car with the mother-in-law or not.
Yeah.
There was a really poignant moment when Spike, you know, he didn't have that many words. He probably only had about 15 to 20 words. And he was really upset. And we were taking him into the car and he didn't want to go and, you know, all the rest of it. And he was really bereft, you know, that way kids are of like, oh... The impotence you feel as a child, it's really hard.
Yeah.
And he just, and all he could reach for in his vocabulary, the only thing that he had was, he just went, oh dear. And it was heartbreaking. That was the only thing he could say to express that anguish.
And I maintain that children are probably the most foul-mouthed of people, but they just don't have the right vocab.
If only they
just come out, throw everything at you.
Our neighbour's kids, I mean, they're all grown up now, but she came home from school one day and sort of a little bit sort of shifty looking. My mum said, "You're all right," and she said, "I learned a new swear word today. I can't tell you what it is." And then my mum said, "You can tell me." She said, "No, I can't. It's a swear word." She said, this one time, what?
Let's
she said,
hear it.
It's the F word, and she said, "The F word." Okay, well, what's the F word? She said, I can't say it. It's a swear word. I can't say the F word. She said, look, I tell you what, I promise you this one time, you won't be in trouble. Tell me what the F word is. And she said, okay, the F word is shit. And her mum said,
that's very naughty.
Well,
let's not hear
it again.
Okay,
but I'll let you off this one time.
Nearly. So close.
Yeah. So apparently, anyway, this is all a bit of a thing. There's some TV show that Claudia Winkleman's fronting.
See, these are all useful lies. My dad used to tell me lies just for fun. Like, you know the reason why some monkeys have got blue bums and some have got pink?
Why?
because some are boys and some are girls.
Really?
Yeah, and these are lies that are never going to be found out until much later on in life when it just pops out in a...
I always wanted to say, don't jump on your bed because you'll crush the mice that live in your mattress.
Oh. Another one that came out in a history lesson much later on was when my sister was very proud to put her hand up when they asked what Hitler's first name was. And she said, Billy.
Billy Hitler.
My dad told her it was Billy Hitler. Like 6 years before, and it just, Billy, you know, was, the seed was sown.
That takes a lot of steam out
of it.
That's
a bit of stick, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, Jem, I hope you have a better night tonight.
Thank you.
And
I'll be fine.
Hope there are no shining moments. Daddy. And thanks for ringing. Appreciate it. Take care.
You're very welcome. It's been an utter delight.
You too. Okay, very
nice,
mutual. Yeah, he's lovely. Jem is brilliant. He's been such a stalwart of this show. Jeff, we're coming to you. What we'll do, though, is we'll take a break first.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake here, in for Ian Lee.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
The Twitter poll continues, nanny or mum, nanny or mum, boom, boom. And some people have chimed in with their thoughts on Twitter. It's at JKEP if you want to vote in the poll. We're going to close it in a... I can't remember.
At some point.
At some point we're going to close the poll. A few thoughts. Paul says, mum, there's a panic in the ushering of children that a professional would not have had. Wendy says, I thought it was already established you could hear the little girl saying, mummy, why?
But she might have been calling for her mum, who was the boss, you know, in a different room. Because I thought that.
And I quite like Paul, paulsquiz.com. He says, neither nanny nor mum, hostages.
I did notice that as they wheeled the child in the walker out, it was kind of over the legs of the other kid.
I know.
Why she's yelling.
It's brilliant.
No one comes out of this well, do they?
And C. Jester has posted a thing which is actually pretty good. Thank you for doing that. Says that police have urged parents to stop using jail as a threat when children act up.
Mm.
They want to make sure that children aren't scared of policemen.
That's true. I don't think I've used that one. I generally find a quiet menace low to the ear, just me, is enough. I do.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, it is that.
Do you do that?
I do.
Oh, you do that.
In shops. In shops. Well, there's no point shouting. I was brought up by a shouter and you just get used to loud noises.
I shouted at Spike in the shop the other day.
Well, sometimes...
He was very upset and cross and he threw his Hot Wheels packaging and it hit a lady.
He did what?
I know.
Outrageous.
I know. See, I can't control him.
What he would get from me would be, we don't do this. Put that down. We leave the shop. Once, I've got video evidence of this. Yeah, horrible. My eldest was my only one at that point, and we were in Next, and all of a sudden I looked around and she was nowhere to be seen. She was hiding in the clothes.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a lot of that running around, and it was kind of... the only reason I could know where she was is that there were clothes moving of your own volition further down the shop. Anyway, it became tiresome. So I said, right.
Became tiresome. I tired of it.
If you don't come here now, we are going, and we are not going to go and see the rabbits. We used to go and see, Pets at Home?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
and I both know it's a shop. My daughter thought it was a museum for a long time.
Mm.
We just go and see the rabbits. We don't, that's not a shop. What are you talking about? Just go and see them.
Yeah.
So we're not going to see the rabbits. And I remember putting her in the car. We did not go and see the rabbits. And do you know
that?
What? She's eight now. She still remembers not going to see the rabbits.
Oh, don't, because now I'm going to worry about scarring my child.
Well, it's not scarring them. It's... You know what happens in my house? You ask my children, both of them, what's the rule in this house? There's only one. Do not mess with mummy, you will not win.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds cruel.
Yeah, it does sound quite cruel. Jeff, is it cruel?
Is what cruel? Sorry, what?
Kath's sort of quiet menace approach
menace
to parenting.
Quiet menace? Maybe, I don't know. Is this John Holmes?
Yes, that's right. Oh, yes, it's John Holmes. You are live on the air with John Holmes.
Oh, good. I haven't overslept then. That's marvellous. How are you, John? You all right?
Yes, good. Thank you. And as always, it's time for our lonely lunch. And today it's Jeff.
Yeah, lonely again, as always.
Where are you having your... Hang on a minute, Jeff.
What?
Oh, I'm just...
What am I... You're not John.
No, I'm not John. I'm not John.
What time is it? Look... Oh, bloody hellfire. It's... Oh, slept. Oh, I have overslept. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Please don't be sorry.
What do you do?
Well, I am an exotic dancer, primarily.
All right.
That's how I sort of got...
That works on the radio, doesn't it?
Yeah, it works very well. I'm doing it now. And do you like this?
I can hear a bit of flapping.
Do you want this?
Oh, that's a bit too much, I'm afraid, no.
What about these?
Oh, that's good.
If I push this...
Oh, hang on. Oh, that's
there
loosened it.
There it is. That's a good boy. That's 40 quid.
Is it?
Yes?
Jake Yap. Is that your name, Jake Yap?
That's my name, yeah.
I just looked on the...
Let me just clarify, because I think a lot of people think, oh, what an idiot head he is with his stupid made-up name. That's my real name. My real name is Jacob Yap, okay?
Right.
Just
Jacob
so you know.
Yap. Have you got a middle name, Jacob?
No, never got one.
Oh, do you want one?
Yeah, what's yours?
My middle name is Philip.
Philip.
Yeah.
Jeff Philip.
Jeff Philip. Phillips. That's my last name.
Jeff Philip Phillips. Okay.
Unimaginative parents.
Well, and what sort of parenting style did they have, your parents? Did they go for the quiet menace or the...
Well, it got really quiet when I was locked in the shed, but it was, apart from that, it was absolutely fine, you know. My dad was pretty quiet, if I'm honest. He'd only raise his voice if... You know, he needed to, like he was telling me to get out of the way or, you know, what have you. Yeah. But my mum was very close. I was very close to my mum. Yeah. She was sweet. She was a sweetheart.
Yeah, when you weren't in the shed.
When I wasn't in the shed.
Or was she in there with you?
Sometimes she'd come and visit me in the shed, yeah. You know.
Do you ever go back to the shed just to remember and, you know, because we all sort of enjoy regressing a bit, don't we, from time to time? Well, does the smell of creosote give you a sort of funny, warm feeling?
If I do walk into, like, a B&Q, I do get a feeling of dread. And me
well, hang on a minute. We all get that. Yeah. That means you're doing DIY. We're all going to have that feeling.
Yeah, I guess. But I don't do much DIY for that very same problem. You know, I don't go near a shed. All my tools are in the shed. I can't go near them.
What was your last DIY project?
Oh, I made a shelf, but, you know, I blue-tacked it to the wall, but it all fell off and something went on it.
Warm weather. Blue-tacked shelves are fine until you get warm weather.
Is white-tack better than blue-tack?
I don't get into that whole kind of racial business. You know, I don't see the colour of tack. It's all tack. We're all tack.
Tack.
As far as I'm... Tack.
Got you.
Tack. Was there anything specific you wanted to share with us, or were you just phoning up for a general chit-chat?
Well, kind of, but I mean, I sort of debate and stuff, but I kind of missed the boat on this one.
Yeah, go on.
I'm a bit...
What, the nanny or mum one, or...
Oh, nanny or mum, you're on about that.
Or John Holmes' big debate some 8.5 hours ago here on this network.
Have I been asleep that long? Bloody hell.
Yeah.
What was it on this week? Today, what was it?
Today, it was Bax today.
Bax.
Yeah, and I played Professor Hugo Shatwell of the University of East Wolverhampton, Professor of Prehistoric Culture and Sexuality.
You're saying it's a character that you played?
Yes. I mean, I hate to break the.
They never work on the radio, do they?
Characters. Right. I will say right now, characters on the radio. Waste of
who
time.
Who does that? Honestly.
What kind of...
Who would ring up, right, and talk radio and do a bloody character? Honestly.
There's such a skill to it, they often sound rubbish to
me. I would judge them. I would pity them. More than anything.
You should pity them hard.
I'd pity... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you won't catch me doing... I mean, I do debates, but, I'm a real person, obviously. I'm not some sort of... character. I'm not something like, you know, 38-year-old man stood in his kitchen.
No.
I'm actually an old man who dare go in the shed.
Of course not. Of course not. When did you get out of the shed? I'm sort of curious. At what point did the shed business end?
Well, the shed burned down, if I'm honest, and I kind of got out while I could. The fireman came, put the fire out, and I got out, and then straight into care, really. So.
Wow. Wow.
Long time ago, though. You know, long time ago. Different days, you know.
Yeah, very different days, yeah.
Lovely.
Lovely stuff. Well...
Always a pleasure.
It was entirely a pleasure. Thank you for calling us, Jeff.
Yeah, you know, nothing better to, well, I'm just walking up, so, you know, exactly. Literally nothing better to do.
Well, literally, thank you.
Literally, that's a pleasure.
Literally, you take care now and have a good weekend, or sleep through it, is entirely up to you.
I will literally do that.
All right, that was Jeff, thanks very much. 03444991000 is the number to call. We can start talking to Dennis. We'll have to have a break in a bit, but hello, Dennis.
Good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah? How was your day? What'd you do?
Listening to you people there. When I was young, policemen were lovely. They were all at least 7 foot tall. And they didn't tell you off. They just give a clip round the ear and send you home. And you daren't tell your parents, otherwise you get another clip.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that series Life on Mars.
Sorry, Life on Mars is right, yeah.
It wasn't quite like that.
No, but it was quite good.
That's why I want other people hitting my kids. Yeah. And then my kid's been too frightened to tell me.
Yeah.
That's what I'll tell you what, my mother wasn't like that. She used to... I've got a dent in the back of my nut where she used to slug me if I'd stepped out of line.
Oh, that's terrible.
That is terrible. Can you, but can you, like, store things in it, or...?
I loved her.
Aw.
She was a great mum.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, my father pushed off and left us when I was a baby. So she had to bring me up on her own.
Wow, that's hard. That's very hard. That must have been very hard in those days, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. It's all right.
I mean, solo parenting. I have the utmost respect for a solo parent. I can't imagine how hard that is. I'm part of a dual parent thing, and, man, it's hard enough.
But he picked me up by my heels when I was born, looked at me, looked down me and said, "You're not one of mine," and dropped me on the floor.
Wow. That's
so
hard.
That's why I'm about half barmy. No, he pushed off and left us, so that was it. I was a man of the family, even though I was only a kid.
Wow.
My mother suffered a form of epilepsy, and she used to leave us for a few minutes, just go off into space, you know. Wow. But I knew how to treat her.
Crikey.
I didn't talk to her and tell her I loved her and rubbed her hand, and she came round all right.
So you,
even though she'd been away.
So you had to grow up fast, huh?
Oh, well, it was all right. No, it was lovely, don't get me wrong. I had a glorious childhood, because she took me back to her parents, who had a pub. They had a lot of children, so I had lots of aunties and uncles.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I had a glorious... When I up to being five, I had a glorious time with them.
Ah, oh,
they taught me how to smoke.
Oh, my goodness.
Not to smoke, I should say, and how to drink whiskey.
Wow.
And... That was great.
You know, I just can't believe how many kids, you know, they're starting school now without any basic smoking or drinking ability.
It's embarrassing, really, isn't it?
You know, never mind numeracy and literacy.
Well, yeah, that's numeracy and literacy. Half of them can't count.
Exactly.
I was listening to people tonight on the radio. Somebody said, what's the biggest desert in North Africa? He says the Gobi Desert. Well, that's Mongolia, they must be teaching some rubbish in school these days.
Well, it's not always about knowledge, is it? Sometimes it's about sort of intelligence and task processing and, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah, well, I was a governor of a school across the road, and some of those kids could hardly read, even though they were 11.
Oh, well, I blame the governor. I don't really. I'm kidding.
I used to sit listening to reading, and I wasn't supposed to help them, but it was destroying them. Oh. Christ, I was reading by the time I was five. Only Bill and Ben books, but nevertheless. Gave me a lifetime of reading.
Absolutely. I mean, even though, print is kind of dead nearly. Would you like to see a new series called Dick of Doc Green?
Yes, Dick of Doc Green, yes.
Because you know Cressida Dick now, she's the Metropolitan Police Commissioner.
That's right, yeah.
They should do a new one, right? Because they brought back Prime Suspect, they should do Dick of Doc Green.
Yeah, well, now Prime Suspect is nice. Ellen Mirren.
Yes.
Would be when she grows up. Great one.
When will she grow old? She's like Goldie Hawn. Dennis, I think we have to leave it there.
All right.
Because we have to go to a break. But it's lovely to talk to you this evening. And I probably won't speak to you for a bit. So you take care of yourself.
I will. Thanks very much. All right. Good evening.
All the best. Night-night, Dennis. 03444991000 is the number to call.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake here, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We'll move on from the lying thing, I think, soon. But I just wanted to finish with this
in this article, Claudia Winkleman, who's doing some new show.
I like her.
Big Little Lies. I like Claudia Winkleman. Yeah. I think she's great. I think she works bloody hard. Like, she tries to wring as much entertainment and comedy out of her little role on Strictly as she can. That's a tough gig
Here's
in that
thing
respect.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to. She's good enough.
I agree. But when you have one person doing all the kind of nuts and bolts anchoring, then you can have a proper clown. She'd have to be less of a clown if she was having to do all the nuts and bolts.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you need the bolts.
I think I'm right.
I mean, the nuts, always good, but I'm not sure you need it all.
Just eat your granola. Anyway, she said that her favourite white lie to tell her kids right now, I quite like this one, mm-hmm. is that Taylor Swift's favourite pastime is brushing her teeth.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, it probably is. She's got good teeth, Taylor
Americans,
Swift.
Right?
Yeah. But I don't think, I'm not sure that Taylor Swift's teeth are bought.
No, they are bought.
Are they bought?
Yeah, I've seen the before and afters.
I don't know.
I've seen the before and afters.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She had.
Yeah.
Perfectly what do you do if your kid's hero is Shane McGowan?
Well, you tell him this is what happens if you don't brush your teeth.
Yeah.
But Taylor Swift had perfectly nice, if slightly vampire-y, pointy teeth. Like, you know, I like them kind of uneven.
Yeah.
I don't want them looking like dentures.
Uh-huh.
And I think they were nice. They weren't like brown or anything. They weren't hanging off.
No, hanging off.
But now she's got a full set of, you know, they're absolutely perfect. But I think it's a big lie. You know, if they're sticking out forwards,
if they're
like,
horizontal like Ken Dodd.
Yeah, or you look like that grandma at the Terror Hawks, then get them sorted. But other than that, I quite like an uneven teeth.
Yeah, of course.
My grandma's got like, you know where, next to your front teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just pointing. So
you've got your
tombstones, and then next to them you've got some that are also
ones.
They're also square normally.
Yeah, yeah.
My grandma's are pointy.
Wow.
Like vampires. But I think they're kind of charming.
Yeah.
Well, they're different.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. And when she goes out at night and comes back.
And you don't disturb her all day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's just part of her. You know, it's charm.
In a crypt. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Hey, this is quite interesting. Yeah. I don't know if this again, we could be dealing with lies here. This is from Hedy. I'm an adhesives chemist. Actually, I think that's true because Hedy's done science-y tweets before.
Mm.
White tack has a higher cohesive strength. But blue tack has greater elongational stretch and firmness. I believe that!
Which one marks your wall less?
Hedy, tell us. At Talk Radio.
Because some of them can leave a greasy residue. You don't want that.
No, you don't want that.
No.
Top tip from when I was 10. Don't experiment with blue tack in the bath.
Oh.
That's my top tip.
Don't chew it. It's not chewing gum.
But it lasts longer. James has texted us and says, my mum used to pick up the phone, call her friend and ask, is this the home for naughty boys? By which time I'd be screaming that I would behave.
Oh.
That is hard.
I know a number of people who used to phone Father Christmas.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Father Christmas, I'm sorry, I just need to tell you.
That's so cold.
And also, you know the rule with Father Christmas?
Go on.
If they're naughty, he takes a present out.
Oh, right.
When I was a kid, it used to be putting stones in. But now he takes a present out. You can't disprove that. You might have had more presents if you've not been so naughty.
And finally, I really like this. This is from Hackney J. I think, is it Julie? It might be Julie. Says, I've no idea to what end, but my dad told me that Sonny Bono had a waistcoat made entirely from bumblebee pelts. I know someone who used to say to his kids, before you eat those crisps, let me I'll just check them for pips.
Oh, I check for poison all the time. Does no one else do that? Sweets especially.
That's amazing.
Just make sure. And sometimes they...
Oh, my God.
Well, you know,
raising these children in this terrifying world.
I think they know by now. I think they know.
Right.
But there comes a point where they're humouring you. Mum, do you want to check these
for... Yeah.
Do you want to check these for poison?
Go on then, Mum. Check them for the...
Yeah, you better take you three.
Yeah, are they okay?
A control.
29 minutes left to vote on Nanny or Mum. Nanny or Mum. Boom, boom. Nanny or Mum. Currently standing at 39% Nanny, 61% Mum. So there you go. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. It looks like Vicky's on the line. Hello, Vicky.
Hello there.
Hi.
I've got a bit of a doozer of something that my mum told me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think this
sort of borders on evil, actually. Mm. When me and my sister were younger, we kind of liked the taste of penicillin. And one time, my brother had tonsillitis.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like bananas.
Oh, I remember that medicine.
Yeah, it's really nice stuff. So me and my sister drank half a bottle of my penicillin. So anyway, she got home, realised that the penicillin had all but vanished, and sort of me and my sister reluctantly admitted to having drunk it. So she said, "Oh, you're going to die tonight."
Oh,
and she left us to think that we were going to not wake up in the morning.
That is pretty bad.
That is pretty awful.
That's dark even for me. I would balk at that.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
Yeah, but I mean, like, obviously we didn't die. But, you know, I think it got to about 3 o'clock in the morning and nothing had happened. And my sister kind of conceded that she might not be telling the truth. So, but yeah, you know, we were convinced about midnight we were going to die.
Oh, my. Were you terrified? You must have been terrified.
Oh, yeah. I was just sort of thinking, I've always had a fear of death anyway. So I was sort of thinking, oh, my goodness. So, you know, I'm sure we've drunk it before and not died. So, because we used to drink each other's penicillin all the time.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, but...
I did not like that bananary medicine. I didn't know that was penicillin. I did not like that.
I tried Kelpon quite recently. Kelpon.
Yeah.
There was nothing else in the house. I had really bad wisdom tooth pain and there was nothing in the house. I thought, I'll have a swig of this.
Yeah.
That is good stuff. There's a reason why kids like that.
It's good with gin, I think.
Mm, it's really good.
Mm.
Did it work for the pain?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's good to know.
It's only paracetamol.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Stuff, you just have to have more of it. But please be careful and responsible with all of this.
Yeah, don't do that. It was very bad of me, but it was good.
Kids seem to get rid of fevers a lot easier than adults when they take paracetamol, don't they?
Well, they metabolise everything more quickly, don't they?
They've got beautiful,
youthful, springy cells, haven't they? And like us withered old, shrivelled things.
like what we did when we had the penicillin.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's probably set you up for life. I bet you don't get ill that often.
Well, do you know what? I've got to have my tonsils out now. I'm literally waiting for an appointment to have my tonsils out at the moment, which is not great.
They don't do that often these days, do
they?
Take your tonsils out? Did you have a recurring problem?
Well, yeah, I've always had tonsillitis ever since I was a little girl, and I should really have had my tonsils out when I was little, but for some reason my doctor never referred me. But as I've got older, I still get tonsillitis now, but not frequently, but because my tonsils are scarred, I get tonsil stones, which are a whole nother ball game.
That sounds awful.
What is tonsil stones?
You really don't want to know. They're pale little things.
Do I? Are they hard like stones?
Yeah, yeah. They basically get, it's like bits of all sorts of weird and wonderful
like
stuff
this.
Get stuck in the tonsils, and then they come out, and they're just these little white stones. Well, they're not always that little. White stones.
Okay, look, I'm getting.
I've
really,
never found you more attractive, Vicky.
I know. I'm getting really horrible and graphic on this now. But are they? They're properly hard like stones.
Well, you can squish them, but you don't want
to. Oh God, that's awful.
Yeah.
Do they, Vicky? Really,
yeah.
Do they smell quite bad?
They smell disgusting. But luckily,
and that's tonsil stones.
Yeah. Yeah,
you've just diagnosed me on air. I've had those.
Joking?
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You sure it's not a bit of quinoa that you've not...
It's not quinoa. No, you'd know if it was quinoa. No, these... Oh, my God, tonsil stones.
Tonsil stones. Have you looked on the videos on YouTube? Of
people
there are videos. We know what you're going to be doing.
3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be watching people purge. So, amazing. I saw a doctor and he sort of just went, huh, yeah, whatever. But he said what happens is... And this is good night, everybody. Good night. the inside of your tonsils have like a surface.
Yeah.
Like of skin.
Yeah.
And so what happens is they sometimes shed that skin, right? But it stays kind of inside your tonsils. And then a rift can come into the tonsil, like a hole. And then out comes all of this nasty old
crap,
disgusting skin stuff.
Mm.
And that's tonsil stones.
Yeah, and food, and old dead cells.
Frogs.
frogs, toads,
drawing pins,
caterpillars, maggots,
blue tack.
Sort of thing.
Yeah, I get all
you
of
two are disgusting.
But I've had the real problem with them, which is why they're taking my tonsils out. But
I want mine out now.
Yeah, you need to literally take your surgeon out to dinner to get them to take them out. But because I'm now getting tonsillitis as well.
Yeah.
I had tonsillitis twice this last month.
Mm.
They've you know, I'm pushing a lot harder to have them out now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like the idea of you taking your surgeon out for dinner and just going, sorry, hang on a minute, I just need to deal with my tonsil stones because my tonsils need... How's your carbonara?
But that if you've got them as well and they're causing you a problem, I'd go back and keep complaining, and eventually they might take them out.
I'll just do it myself with a compass, I think.
Oh, don't be horrible.
Oh.
I've got quite good control of my gag reflex.
I did actually ask somebody if there was anybody prepared to on Twitter come around and take my tonsils out about a week and a half ago.
Any offers?
It was killing me. Well, somebody did say they would, actually.
Oh, Vicky.
You know why? Because Twitter is full of perverts.
And weirdos. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I'll take your tonsils out for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Jeff has just tweeted, what's the bloody safe word tonight? Well, Vicky, gosh, good luck. Are you booked in? No, you're not booked in yet.
I'm waiting, but I should actually get an appointment on Monday, I think. That's what the hospital called me today, because I had to make a complaint. I've been on the waiting list since 2015, and they Crikey. Keep saying they've sent me letters, and I don't get them. So, so I've had to cancel it once, and didn't realise I had an appointment booked another time, so it's, pain in the bum, really.
Well, hopefully... You know, one day soon, they'll be booking the skip.
And no more tonsil stones.
Amazing.
Yeah, do you know what? They are actually a little bit like couscous.
Oh, God.
And on that bombshell,
it's true.
Can we...
Vicky, yeah, we need to press on. Thank you so much for calling, and good luck! Good
Thank
luck
you.
With the tonsil stones. And, you know, if not this show, what the hell? Well, let's ruin a Sunday morning at some point soon after you've had your operation. You can tell us all about it.
Okay.
All right, take care. That was Vicky, 0344 499 is the number to call.
JCAP in for late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Mama. Don't. Do a Google image search for tonsil stones.
Don't go on YouTube and look at it. Right. I know you're not supposed to jab, like, cotton buds in your ear. Don't jab in the back of your mouth either.
Oh, these are like...
It's like an extra tooth.
They're as big as teeth.
Ugh.
And...
Don't.
Oh, man. Oh, they just go on and on, and you can watch people plipping them out with a cotton wool bud. Like.
Jake, seriously, can we stop this?
Patience. What's that coming out of that guy's ear? What is that? Dennis.
Oh, they just go on and on, and you can watch people plipping
Dennis.
Them out.
Dennis, turn your radio down.
Every time. Seriously.
I was thinking, who's that guy? Sounds really rude. Oh, no, it was me. It was actually me. Dennis. Dennis.
What is that?
Dennis.
Dennis again.
Dennis. He wanted more, Dennis. Oh, bye-bye, Dennis. Never mind. Doesn't matter.
We can
move on. Hey, here's an article from the Daily Express today. New man around the home. He's a myth, say women. Is that true, Kat?
Which women?
Kat, stop looking at the tonsil stones. I can see by the sort of mournful expression on your face of just revoltingness of humanity.
I'm looking at something nice to try and get that image out.
You're not. What are you looking at?
Twitter, which is not nice, to be honest.
Yeah. Could be worse. Anyway, apparently the arrival of new man and equality in domestic life is a myth, according to young wives and partners. Women are still responsible for most domestic chores and keeping households running smoothly. In fact, when it comes to basic tasks like washing and cleaning, men are nowhere to be seen.
What? Washing and cleaning what?
Anything.
Not true.
Is that not true?
It's not true. It's not true. My husband does an awful lot. He has to. I hand the children over at 4 o'clock. They're at his mercy. He does the business. He's good.
That's good.
He does all that stuff, the washing and the putting them to bed.
That's
does
great.
The ironing. He moans about it.
Does the ironing.
But that goes along with doing the ironing, moaning about it. We all know this.
You have absolute right to moan there as much as you want.
There's only one kind of person who likes ironing, and that's a deviant. It's true. It's true. There are some people who say, oh, I love ironing.
I paid a lady to do ironing.
Do you? I don't blame you.
I did. Well, now I just don't wear anything that needs ironing. But she was a deviant. You're right.
She loved it.
She was that... Well, she had that attitude. No, she wasn't. She
loved being paid for
she
it.
She could barely contain the rage. You know what I mean? Because you're right. You iron, you moan. It goes hand in hand. You have to.
It's boring.
Because it's awful. So she would show up and be like, hello, hiya. And be like, hi, got some ironing for you. And then she'd weigh it. And then she'd go, we'll be back on Wednesday. And you'd be like, okay. And she'd be like, ta-da. And you could see the rage. And I reckon by the time she got to the car... I reckon there's probably a moment of just like, kum, shut the car door and just total pure rage.
Yeah.
And that's her life.
I know.
Imagine that. I just feel I've had a week of guilt in terms of I haven't done anything around that. I've barely been at home, in all honesty.
Welcome
this week.
To my world.
It's awful. I feel, I mean, I'm not saying, oh, poor me. I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying it's sucked. For Kim, like, this week, it's just been hard.
But she'll be glad to see you this weekend and from thenceforth.
She thence will.
Well, until Wednesday when she's used to it.
Then yeah, then she'll be like, oh, do you want to chip off?
Oh, really?
No, she... No. It's hard because we're trying to sell a house. So there's, like, two house viewings tomorrow morning, so we have to pretend we're normal people.
Yeah. Don't open that cupboard!
Yeah. Ignore the blood and chicken feathers. That's not normally there. So...
We live like this.
Yeah. We were just appeasing the gods. Honestly, guys, seriously.
Do they take their shoes off when they come in? Are you bothered about that?
Oh, well, you know, there was a whole business about... sorry, I was reading a message that came through from... purporting to be from George Galloway. I don't think it is. Saying, I once went to get my tonsils removed, but the surgeon was dyslexic... And they snipped my balls off. That's why I'm so angry. I don't think that's true.
That's clearly not true.
Anyway, estate agents, they're a funny bunch. They're a funny breed, right? And so we got three sort of quotes from three estate agents who came and appraised the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one was this guy who... I've never seen Glengarry Glen Ross, right? But isn't there... There's like a salesman guy in that who's like... He's reached a certain age and he's... A certain level of desperation, and it's like he knows he's sort of on the out, like he's on the skids, and you know, but trying to, hey there, great to see you, and blah, blah. And this guy was sort of trying to do that, and you cannot open a sentence with the word politely.
No,
politely. If I could just leave you these reviews of our service,
politely,
politely, no. I'll decide if you're polite.
Pushily, can I just?
Yes, yes, and then it's You know, your house is, it obviously, you know, it's not going to be to everyone's, you know, politely, there was a house just down the road that sold for this amount of money, but...
politely, that's not going to happen.
Politely, it was in show home condition, and politely, this is not.
Wow.
I was like, wow.
What
a cow. And then, all the others, right, they know the deal, they know you're seeing other people, like, there's this unspoken whatever, you know, and the guy say, look... Here's what we think your house is worth. Here's what we can do for you. You know, if you've got any questions, if you'd like to proceed, here's our contact info. Get in touch and, you know, or we'll follow up in a couple of days and see how you're doing.
And then like, leave.
Okay, and then go away, right? Yes. So we can talk about how weird you are. And then, but this guy, he's sitting there and he goes, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, so, you know, is there any reason why you wouldn't want to sign up with us today, politely?
Your weirdness.
I'm like, politely?
Honestly?
You're very passive-aggressive. And I know you hate my house and you think I'm weird. And that's fine, I am. But how can you sell my house if you're giving off the this is the weird house vibe to all the clients?
Yeah.
Politely. And here's my point. He
took his shoes off, and he had the nastiest, shiniest suits and the nastiest, shiniest shoes, and was trying to politely look as politely as he possibly politely could, and he stank of aftershave, and he had a little shiny silver shoehorn.
What?
To horn his feet into his own shiny shoes.
He brought his shoehorn.
Yes, a little shiny shoehorn to politely shoe his shiny feet into his shiny shoes.
That's almost as weird as bringing your own cheese and mayonnaise to a restaurant. Isn't it?
You didn't even blink. You were brilliant with that. And I know that was weird. I'm sorry I did that.
A shoehorn, though. I mean, yeah. Who uses one of those at home? Never mind, has one to take out.
I know, politely. Well, you know, I do have to take off my shoes many times a day. And politely, it makes me sick. Your carpet looked like you were having a Bovril throwing party. You sick people.
That's not Bovril.
No, it's definitely not Bovril. We're vegans. Like I say. Rabbit pellets. hey, oh my goodness, it's like midnight and coming up, and we might do Good Morning China, although we didn't sort it out. Anyway, we'll be back after the news.
Talk radio.
Politely, then, it's coming up to midnight, and if yourself, I will use the word yourself, because I'm not allowed to use the word thou anymore, although I'd be much more comfortable, politely, if I could say thou. If yourself has been wondering what's been going on in the world, politely, here's the news headlines.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
It's the radio show for night people. Funky, but neat.
Jake Yap, in for late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I still have absolutely no idea what funky but neat means. Could he not just say politely? Good morning, it's Jake Yap here on a Saturday morning already, good lord. And this is my final hour with you. It's been a wonderful week, thanks very much indeed. Ian Lee will be back on Monday, ACAS negotiations permitting about bland radio. And I thought we could do a caption competition, because what could work better on radio than talking about a photograph? But I was just quite tickled. I feel like, you know, Theresa May, obviously very stately, authoritative, you know, really sort of lives up to her role as Prime Minister. And yet I feel like a lot of photojournalists keep, or you know, picture editors in papers keep picking like the absolute worst photos that they can find, which is perhaps a bit harsh, but you know, well, them's the breaks if you're at the top of the tree. And she's always sort of got a bit of a, oh, cripes look to her, with a sort of bop, 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 wah, wah kind of thing. So I've tweeted one from today's Times, which I just think is the best one. She's standing next to the Lithuanian president, Dalia Grybauskaitė. And she's just got this look of, oh, crikey, I've done it again. If you've got any thoughts for a good caption, at Jake Yap. Or at Talk Radio, but I tweeted it under at Jake Yap, because they won't tell me the password for at Talk Radio, because they know what would happen. It's been a wonderful week, and one of the things I'm proudest of is a feature that we launched, Britain's earliest breakfast show, really all about China, because, of course, they are actually waking up there. It is breakfast time there, and so it's time now, for the last time, for Good Morning China.
Good Morning China, on Talk Radio.
And all this week, like a trooper, what a lovely man, Stuart Wiggin. Has been joining us live from Beijing to fill us in on what life is like out there. And he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jake. I hope you can hear me loud and clear.
Yes, clear as a bell, clear as a bell. How are you? How is China?
I'm well. Everyone's waking up today and looking at their WeChat. Do you know what WeChat is? Have you heard of that?
WeChat?
Yes. It's like WhatsApp. It's the Chinese version of WhatsApp.
Oh, okay. That is like
far advanced.
What Weibo is to Twitter, WeChat
is exactly the same.
I heard a guy talking on the train this morning, and he was like a proper geezer, right? But then he was on the phone to his mate, and he said, "Yeah, can you have a look in there? Yeah, there should be a brioche recipe." Yeah, no, it's just I've sort of tweaked it quite a lot. I tell you what, are you on WhatsApp? WhatsApp? Can you send it through WhatsApp?
I'll tell you what, if he had WeChat, he wouldn't need to. He could send it out to the world, because in WeChat, it has far more functions, and everyone's looking at their WeChat this morning, and they're seeing a video, including me, I've seen it, of a car, which somehow, an SUV, which somehow swerved off the road and ended up in the roof of a house.
What?
So that's what people are waking up to this morning, yeah. You get a lot of crazy driving videos in China. The roads aren't the safest. I'm currently finding out because I'm learning how to drive here.
Are you?
Unbelievably, I can't drive. Yes, I had a driving lesson today, a six-hour driving lesson today.
A six-hour driving lesson? Lord.
Yeah, the course here is quite stringent. You have to do four tests. One written test and three driving tests. And for each driving part, you need to pass 40 hours of practice. Yeah.
Crikey.
You have to do that in six-hour blocks.
You could fly a plane for less than that in Britain.
I know, yeah. It's probably cheaper to get a pilot's license as well. You have to go to a school, and the school is rather unrealistic because everyone goes there at the same time, and everyone travels at around 3 miles per hour behind each other.
little flotilla.
It's not the best, but that's probably why when you actually get on the road, everything goes crazy and people start flying into roofs.
So you're in like a sort of a class learning to drive?
No, you're on your own. You're on your own in the car. It's the same as Britain, but you're in what is called a school, and they basically build a very little mini city that you drive around.
Oh, I see. That's a nice idea.
Yeah. And they also have some... So there's a thing called Chinglish here in China, which is Chinese English. It's bad translation.
Okay, yeah.
So there's a lot of signs around in Chinglish, and there's an area... for perverse parking, which I haven't done yet. So I'll probably be doing that today.
That's got to be reverse park. I mean, that's perverse, isn't it?
I really hope so.
I mean, you could try it. I mean, it sounds like if ever there was a country where you can be creative as a driver, it's China, right?
Maybe. Or Japan.
Do they drive? Because Japan drives on the left, doesn't it? What side does China drive?
Yeah, Japan's the same as Britain. China's the other side, same as US. And everyone in China, basically everyone, apart from the taxi drivers, drive automatics. So I'm doing my test in an automatic.
Oh, really?
When I go back to the UK, I won't be able to drive a manual.
I'm not being funny, but how much is there to learn? I mean, there's a reason why Americans drive automatic. I mean, it's a piece of cake. Like, that's the go one, that's the stop one, and that's the steering one.
Yeah, true. But, however, the tests here are a little strange. They're based on lasers and GPS. So, if your car goes over a certain line by 2 or 3 centimetres, you fail.
Wow!
At one point, you have to stop your front wheel in a very thin yellow line, which is almost unbelievable, because you can't see the yellow line. And, it's all based on lasers and GPS. So, I mean...
That's so high-tech.
Automatic makes that a little bit easier. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I'm impressed. I'm sort of surprised,
so don't be too impressed.
Yeah. I'm surprised, you know, what you were saying about, you know, there's lots of accidents in the roads in China and all the rest of it. With such stringent driving tests, I'm kind of surprised. You know what I mean? You would have thought they'd be better at it.
Yeah, some people obviously are.
Maybe it's...
My kind of the fittest when you actually get on the road. So the actual drivers that stay on the road are probably the best.
Right.
they're just all in a rush.
Well, the other thing, I guess, is it's kind of a numbers game, right? You've got a population of what in China?
1.3 billion, and they all want a car, yeah.
Yeah, and so I guess, you know, just out of 1.3 billion, you're going to get a few who are going to end up driving an SUV onto a roof.
Here's the kicker. If I pass my test, I have to apply for a number plate via a lottery, and it's not guaranteed, so I might not even be able to buy a car.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm trying to limit the number of cars to cut down on pollution.
Right, of course, yeah. Yeah, that's true. So how do you get around now?
Public transport is amazing here. And it's super cheap. Like I don't know, a fraction of the cost of London's, you know, underground.
Yeah.
It's just like that.
Yeah.
Every city's got one. And if they build a subway, it'll basically be ready in about 3 weeks. Not like Britain.
Really?
Yeah, it gets things done here. Very quick.
No kidding. Oh, gosh, well, good luck. When is your driving test?
You know, I've been learning since last September. So.
Wow, man.
Who knows? I just have to keep slogging away. I've had one already, one test.
And did you?
Luckily, I passed that lasers part. Yeah.
You passed the lasers part. And I was going to say, if you get it wildly out, does that just go straight through your eye?
Probably.
Probably.
Obviously, during the perverse parking section.
Yes, good luck with the perverse parking. That sounds like a lot. Well, would they let you film that? Is that the kind of thing you'd be allowed to film for your shows?
We asked, but the insurance was off the chart, so
okay.
We chose not to.
Yeah. Well, you've got to draw a line, haven't you? Gosh, well, good luck.
Thanks very much.
And thanks so much for this week. It's been really fascinating finding out what life is like in China, like proper everyday life.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome.
And if people want to follow you on Twitter, it's at China Comedy Stew.
Yes.
STU.
All one word.
And if they want to do it on the Facebook there, it's Comedy in China, is that right?
Comedy in China, yeah.
Brilliant. Well, from all of us at Talk Radio, thanks so much. Really appreciate you taking the trouble.
I'm going to say bye forever now.
Okay. Okay, yeah, go on then.
Oh, goodbye.
That's heartbreaking. Well, until the next, I'm sure our paths will cross again. Thank you so much, Stuart. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care. Bye, Jake. All the best. That was Stuart Wigan, live from China.
Good morning, China, on Talk Radio.
Some very nice suggestions coming in for the caption competition for Theresa May. This is not working on radio at all. If you have a look on Twitter, it's from the Times today. It's basically Theresa May doing a "oh cripes" face, standing next to a lady with a sort of short but boofy blonde haircut. She's probably about 60 years old. Some great suggestions. Chris says, Theresa May shuffles awkwardly, realising Pat Butcher is self-employed. That's a lovely line. Thank you very much indeed for that, Chris. Dan says, bugger me, is that Ken heading this way with a cuppa? And Darren says, I can see a bit of a Frank Spencer All Betty in there too. Yeah, it's all there. It's a great photo, honestly. Jem says, oh, Elizabeth, not the Royal Dalton with the hand-painted periwinkles. Alan says, that's not Rutger Hauer. And Jem says, my wife, Rachel, would like to suggest, Philip, darling, my hair's nicer than hers, isn't it? Yes, of course it is. And Raimondo says, Teresa saying, when I said I was open for debate, I didn't mean that type of debate. Thank you very much indeed for those. I appreciate that. Doesn't necessarily work on radio, but I'm having a wonderful time. David says, that moment you realise you shouldn't have bought economy of continence pants. Not that we are insinuating in any way, shape or form. So thank you very much indeed for those. I thought we could talk about... there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about. The Nightly Show. We sort of touched upon it. It's just completed its second and final week. No, not final, but it's not looking too good. Mill and Sue, apparently, they were lined up to host the show. Did you know that? Yeah. They were going to put in a week. And... apparently that's not so much happening now. Former Bake Off hosts Mel Gedroych and Sue Perkins had already featured in a trailer for the failing show, but have quit, saying they're too busy. Too busy. A different host fronts the show each week. David Williams launched it and was followed this week by John Bishop. Davina McCall and Gordon Ramsay are also lined up as hosts. Wow. Mel and Sue were due to present it next month, but sources close to the show claim they got cold feet about the way it was going. Just 1.6 million people tuned in on Wednesday. The last time ITV News was screened at 10 p.m. on a Wednesday, 2.2 million watched it. The broadcaster refused to comment on the figures, but a spokesman said... Well, hang on a minute. Mel and Sue were never signed to present the Nightly Show. The production team undertook discussions with them about the possibility of presenting a week, but due to their hectic schedule, this wasn't possible. Okay. The pair are thought to have taken part in rehearsals for the show during its four-week dry run. Four-week dry run! 4 weeks to run that show in before they launched it! Woof! making episodes that were never broadcast. I would love to see them! Crikey, that would be good. And they filmed a promotional trailer for the series, which ITV used to sell the idea to foreign broadcasters at a festival just 10 days before it launched. So there you go. Gedroych and Perkins said, we were approached to take part in the series. However, due to our busy schedule, we were unable to make the dates work. Oh, that's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Anyway, apparently they've had a rethink about The Nightly Show, and I'll tell you what their rethink was after this.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Can I get a whoop whoop if you lost more than £500 on Bitcoin this week? Okay, cool. Sorry. Just personal. So, yeah, I promised you I would tell you about what's happening with The Nightly Show. Well, according to the Daily Mail, an ITV source says, if the ratings haven't improved dramatically by the end of next week, oh, it's Bitcoin all over again, the news at 10 will be restored to its proper time. Just think, they'll have to, I mean, they just finished painting 30 onto all the signs and everything in the back of the studio. Now they'll have to paint them all back out again. It's ridiculous. To spare our blushes, The Nightly Show will continue, but it will be broadcast after the news finishes. There's a recognition that we are destroying the news. That's a great tagline. ITV, destroying the news. Brilliant. Let's talk to Ray. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks, man.
Just on that, I hate criticising anything, but I watched The Nightly Show a couple of nights ago, and it wasn't good.
No. How was John Bishop? Because I didn't see any of the John Bishop ones.
He was okay, but it really wasn't John Bishop. It's weird. You know, if you see him normally, he's great. He's really funny.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it appeared a bit stifled, and it just didn't work.
It must be very difficult, I think, when you get a show that, you know, publicly is being sort of lambasted like that. I don't know how you sort of keep going. You know, you have to come into work and sort of go, yeah, okay, let's sell this show to the people.
I think they'd be better off with just one presenter, get someone in and then give him or her a couple of weeks to
him.
Get it right.
Yeah, yeah. What if it was someone who was sort of, you know, had sort of broken themselves in as a broadcaster, but perhaps hadn't had quite the prominence and attention that, you know, maybe, you know, they deserved. And maybe they were like available weekdays at 10 o'clock or so, you know, so not, you know, no distress, you know, Ian Lee is very busy here, you know, but if there was someone else who maybe only worked like one day a week and was trying to keep his family going on the income from one day's employment a week. I'm top of my head. I don't know what you think about that, Ray.
Good idea. The reason I'm actually ringing,
yes,
is you've been driving me mad all week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. It's in a good way, really, because on Monday I was thinking, who do you sound like? And I basically, by yesterday, I came up with, or made the decision that if David Mitchell and Giles Cohen had a love child, it would sound like you.
Yeah.
But then I was out today, and I wish you'd said this, you might have said it at some point during the week, and I realised who you do sound like.
Go on.
You sound like you, because you're the voice of Dave, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I am the voice of Dave.
It's taken me till tonight to realise. It's been bugging me all week.
Yes, I'm the excitable posh twit who says, have I got news for you? Tonight at 9 on Dave. That's me.
Unbelievable, yes. It's been bugging me all week. That was something you realised.
Yeah.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
Just to finish, and then I let you go.
No.
You know, whenever someone sort of leaves their normal show to go off and someone comes in standing, you always think, oh, no.
I know.
You've been a delight this week. You've been absolutely brilliant.
Oh, that's so nice of you. Oh, that's... well, thank you. That's very lovely of you. I've had a great time. It is weird. It's like walking into someone's lounge and saying, well, can I get you anything? It is a funny thing sitting in front of... and particularly this show, because it's such a unique show.
It is, yeah, but...
you've done yourself proud, and I hope Ian won't mind me saying that, because obviously he's a genius, but no, it's been a really good week.
Oh, that's really lovely of you, thank you, because I, honestly, the whole strike thing, it was a bit troubling.
Yeah. I thought you dealt with it very well.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much.
No problem at all. You've got a new listener if I can get myself up on a Sunday morning.
You what, sorry?
I said you'll have yourself a new listener if I can drag myself up on a Sunday morning.
That's so nice. Well, there's always a podcast. It's called Jake Yap Sunday Best, if you want to, you know, that's, frankly, it's a much better way to do it.
Great. Thanks very much, Jake.
Oh, thank you. All right, all the best. Oh, that was Ray. Thanks so much for calling. That's very lovely. I mean, Ray has, you know, slightly shot himself in the foot there, I would say. You know, I mean, your name's gone down on a list of people who called this week. I don't think people necessarily realised that this was a combination of a test and a cull. So it's like a mole hunt, effectively a mole hunt. But thank you. That's really touching. It is quite nerve-wracking. I'm not going to lie. Doing this show. And I have been told I sound like David Mitchell. I don't sound like David Mitchell. This is what David Mitchell sounds like. Jeremy, what are you doing? That's what David Mitchell sounds like. I was going to do more, but then I thought, actually, I don't think I could do it as well as those last four words. So I'll just leave it with that. We've had some more answers for our caption competition, which is very nice. Julie says, you don't need a caption, just the sound effect of a swanny whistle. I wish you could see this picture. I wish I could show you on the thing. Because it's a very funny picture. Everyone's basically saying that the president of Lithuania is Pat Butcher. I think it's not far wide of the mark, in all honesty. We've got some Choose Your Own Adventure erotica coming up. Although, to be honest, nobody chose anything. Nobody chose anything in the last 24 hours, and so I've had to sort of go it alone. Oh no, we did have someone. And what am I talking about? We did. It was I can't remember the guy's name now. I've got it written down somewhere. No, we did have something. Someone suggested something to do with trains and Italy. Yeah. So we've got some Italian train action coming up for you in about 20 minutes' time. Kath is. Really looking forward to it. She's warming up her larynx right now. I saw this story in the paper. This is in The Sun today. And it's a kind of... I never really understand... You know when people try to make food look like something else? Why did it look... It's a thing that looks like another thing. It's always like cakes. Why can't a cake just look like a cake? Like a nice cake? Why does it have to be an aeroplane cake? Oh, he loves golf. Can you make it look like a... No! Just, I mean, draw a golf ball on it or something if you have to, but why does it have to look like another thing? Anyway, so there's this... The headline's very good. Baking Bad. That's sub-editor of the week there. This guy who... it's his 16th birthday, and he's a relative of a proper hardcore crim. And it got this birthday cake. His birthday cake has got £12,500 of pretend cash. So it's like wads of £50 notes. The cake is also made into, it's shaped like a ripped cigarette. Joints. The Sun's word, not mine. Drug grinder. Some cigarette papers. And then it says, happy 16th birthday. I mean, wow. I'm just trying to think what I did for my 16th birthday. I'm pretty sure I didn't play hide and seek, but I might have played sardines. It's not quite the same, is it? £12,500 of cash, a ripped cigarette papers and some joints. I just sort of feel like, you know, it's so weird. It must be such a weird job making cakes. I've got a friend who makes cakes. She makes cakes for a living and she makes amazing cakes. Jesmond Cake Company. And she gets some weird things sometimes that she has to do, and you sort of think, is that what... I mean, how fulfilling is that? If someone says, yeah, can you do a cake what's shaped like a drug grinder? Is that really... I mean, it'd be hard, wouldn't it? They contacted the cake maker, Gemma Woodall of Lil Gems Cakes. She said, I didn't know who ordered the cake until you told me. It's what the customer ordered and money for me at the end of the day. That's fair enough, isn't it? You've got to make a living. We've all got to make a living.
we'll take a break, and then after that, maybe we'll talk to CJ.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation.
Jake Yap in for late night Ian Lee
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344 499 1000 is the number to call. CJ has called that number. Hello, CJ.
I'm sad.
Oh, why are you sad?
Because this week's been an absolutely fantastic week of radio. It really has.
Oh, now.
No, seriously, it really has. You know me as Suggester on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
And had a bit of fun with you on there. It's been a fantastic week. You know, you're a great host. And I've gone through the Facebook page for you, and I found some of the best comments of the people talking about this week's show.
Oh, my.
And I was wondering if we could read some of them to you.
Oh, how about we do it later, when I'm in a darkened room somewhere, and the curtains are drawn. We can't do it, because then you end up being, it's like Steve Wright territory then. You know, it's...
This is your life.
Great show, Steve! Great show! I used to work at Radio 2.
Oh, bless you.
And Steve Wright, he was there a lot.
Does he do the Wright stuff, Steve Wright?
No, that's Matthew Wright.
Is that Matthew Wright?
Yes.
Got an image of people pranking him on his show, you see.
And then there's, Orville Wright flew the plane. Steve Wright is, he's, what can I say? He's a complex character.
Sounds it. Did you say the other day that you did performing arts? Or drama, was it, for 6 weeks and then dropped out?
I did, yeah. I did 12 weeks of a drama degree and then fled.
I did exactly the same thing with...
Did you?
Performing arts for 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Respect that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I dropped it and went to join the media department, which was so much better.
Oh, really? Where was that?
Stockport, Greater Manchester.
Stockport, yeah, nice. So what part of the media stuff did you do then?
I did everything from video to radio to live events, and ended up working with the performing arts people anyway, because they did these horrible, horrible pantomimes, and we had to film them, and it was absolutely terrible. You know, got all these, who's behind you? And I hate pantomime. It's got to be, it's the worst form of entertainment ever.
Do you reckon?
Well, that and the James Whale show, but, it was...
Oh!
I'm joking. I like James Whale. It's cool.
I know what you mean about pantomime. I feel like they sort of went through a doldrumsy period. You know, maybe in the
Italian, isn't it? It's based on what was it? Something
Commedia dell'arte.
That's it. Yeah, some bull like that. It's the worst thing imaginable.
But I think it's one of those things that it's sort of, you know, I would think we went through quite a cynical phase, didn't we?
Yeah, we
did. Like the 80s, 90s, maybe. Yeah, and I think that now people are sort of, they're more ready to kind of embrace that stuff again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose so. I've done Star Wars, the panto, when I did performing arts.
Oh, that would be cool.
A few years back. Yeah, it was good.
How could you not love that?
Exactly. We had the scrolling text, and I was playing the villain. It was one of those. I wrote it. I directed it. I took over it. I said, listen, guys, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to do it good. And they went, okay, CJ. Right, well, you're doing it. And, the kids loved it.
Yeah.
It wasn't your traditional pantomime. You know, it sort of put outside the box a bit with it. And that's what people should be doing, not the same old, it's Aladdin again. I mean,
yeah.
If I was doing Aladdin... Alabazo, what we call him. I'd have trying to get the lamp off them by swapping it with an actual lamp, you know, like a light bulb, you know, something stupid like that.
Yeah, angle poise. It's the future.
Exactly.
Yeah. So did you play Darth Vader in the Star Wars pantomime?
I had the Darth Vader helmet on, yeah, and I entered to Imperial March.
Amazing.
Yeah, and everyone was booing. Loved it.
And so I'm trying to figure, would you have Han Solo as Widow Twank? I can't.
Sort of, yeah, but it was sort of Darth Vader steals Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah.
You went out, did you hear, was there a Star Wars Christmas special, I think, in like 1977?
So it's the second worst thing that's been creatively made in all of history.
What's the first worst thing?
Well, I've listened to Paul Ross a few times on here, and and his submarine specials, you know. So
I did not catch that special. I shall find it on the website. Yeah, he did a special Navy thing, didn't he?
He did. It's full of seamen, so, you know, there's so many things we can say on that. And
there's so many things we can't say.
So many things. No, Paul's lovely. I spoke to him a few times. He's inboxed me a few times, you know, so he's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy, actually.
Absolutely.
Well, do you still keep your hand in with all of this stuff?
I'm charity based at the moment. I do sort of charity events throughout Manchester, working with musicians all over the place. It's great fun. All voluntary. Awesome. We were in trouble with Sky recently, funnily enough.
Okay, well, let's maybe not talk about that one on air.
I know, that's what's funny. No, so the situation was resolved quite well.
Okay.
And Sky TV actually ended up donating £4,500 towards the charity events.
Ah.
Because they made a balls up.
Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I mean, we just don't know.
We don't know, no.
We don't need to go into the ins of that. Behind you! There we go. Boo! Okay. Oh, you do give us... It's good, because, you know, just when you're flagging, it's what you need. Just that little spurt of adrenaline.
Great show. It's been a great week.
Oh, well, it's been a real privilege to be here and keep the seat warm for the king of radio.
The fan base on Facebook is, you know, everyone's... there's a community on Facebook of people that supports the show.
Amazing.
And the nice things that have been said about you tonight have been... Well, over the week have been brilliant. Oh. I spent a lot of noise through them before.
Well, I'm
someone was calling you. Hang on, I checked out the Yappy Yap on Periscope. He's all right looking, you know. Some lovely lady.
It's me, Mum. She's a wonderful woman, my mother. She always sees
called you the master of talk.
Lord.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That would be my dad. I'm running out of relatives now. CJ, thank you for ringing. That's really lovely of you. Thank you.
You're most
welcome. I really appreciate it. It's lovely to end on such a positive note. That's really lovely. And enjoy the return of the master. I personally will be listening. I can't wait to hear what he's got to say. How exciting. Good night, CJ. Have a good weekend.
Good night, sir. Good night.
Take care. 0344-499-1000 number to call. We do have some erotica coming. It was Humphrey. That's right. Humphrey and Toxteth. He asked for a Tuscan adventure involving trains and tunnels. Trains and tunnels. Mm. I will leave you with a bit of a plug. I do Sunday breakfast here on Talk Radio from 8 till 11. It is quite early. 8 o'clock is too early, to be honest, some would say. But the nice thing is it's only... we're coming up for our first anniversary here on Talk Radio. And I know that because my contract will be up. So I'm going to negotiate hard for just a slightly more humane start time, because 8 a.m. It's not. Kath's looking at me like...
5 past?
I want to be one of those presenters. You know, there's like... You always hear these apocryphal stories about presenters. You know, they've done the show, the same show for like 25 years.
Yeah.
The seat has moulded to their frame. And they're like, oh, yeah, I mean, he's in the toilet while they're doing the sports news. And then he walks in with the jingle playing.
Yeah.
I want to become one of those.
I have heard tell that Chris Evans is like that.
Yeah, I expect so.
Yeah.
But he can do... So for me, it's like I just sweat and stew over these things.
Do you want to be there ready for it?
Well, I'm just, you know, I suppose I'm still a greenhorn.
You want to get that
looked at? Yeah, probably do. But anyway, so yeah, have a listen to that. It's on Sunday mornings. Or you can just get the podcast. It's much easier. Jet you up Sunday.
No,
best.
Listen to it. Don't be lazy. Don't give him a get
no,
out.
Just do the podcast. Do the podcast. Well, seriously. It's, you know, and please leave a review, because that would help.
Yeah.
You know,
a nice review.
Just saying my contract's up.
Yeah. Yours and mine both.
Is yours up?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ian's
clearly weren't sure
Ian's
about me.
Isn't, is it?
No.
Mm.
That's no accident.
They know what they're doing, don't they? You always give the impression, oh, management here, they're so bumbling. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing.
They totally do.
Oh, that's very depressing.
Wow.
Are you just so pumped about the erotica tonight? Because I'm trying to end...
I've rarely been pumped
on a bang.
Mm?
This is a bang.
Oh, gosh. I mean, it got quite... I was very sensual last night. I don't know how it could get any more...
Was there crepe paper involved?
Not then, no. There was lesbionics, I think, was the term used.
Lesbionics. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no lesbionics in this one. I'm sorry to disappoint.
I think you might have used it all up yesterday.
But there's some good
crepe
stuff.
Crepe paper.
Crepe paper.
Maybe I'm uninventive, but I've never seen the possibilities of crepe paper.
Oh, swatting someone on the bottom with crepe paper.
Oh, I say.
Very sensuous.
So sensuous.
Right, I'm going to get the ice cube
50
ready.
50 Shades of Crepe.
I'm going to get the ice cube ready and we'll be back with some interactive erotica. Yes, yes, why not? We'll actually do it after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap, in for Ian Lee. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Why are you still looking at that?
Oh!
Tonsil stones, everyone. Don't Google them.
I'm watching a video of them taking out tonsil stones.
Ugh.
Ah! But, like, they're taking them, like, getting them on a little thing, a little spatula, like a lit-up spatula.
Don't, because I will puke.
But why are you wiping them on your thigh?
What? This isn't a surgeon, is it?
Why?
This is someone's mum having a go.
Oh.
Talking of stomach churning.
Sorry. Anyway, yes. Jem says, according to Rachel, my wife, the colour runs on crepe paper, so do be careful.
Yeah.
Yes, don't get it wet. Don't get it wet. And Dan wonders, what's the chance that Ken might be Sunday's safe word? Well, this week be podcast. No, it won't. If you weren't there, you weren't there, man.
You can listen again, though.
You can on the website, can't
talkradio.co.uk.
There you go. Fire it up. Are we going to do this?
Yeah, but we need music and we can't use the... I mean, it looks like you've changed completely characters, so, I mean, the old...
That's true. We need some Italian music. Is there any Puccini? Can you Google Puccini? Anything like...
Or Solomio in a... I've been to Venice. They do sing that.
Yeah.
But what,
don't you want mio babino
caro? Well, I don't know what kind of classy establishment you've set up here.
Who was it wanted the train thing?
Humphrey and Toxteth. I'm thinking, and given your previous, I'm thinking maybe the Benny Hill Yakety Sax might be more.
Oh, God, it's awful, isn't it? It's always... Because I'm a purveyor. I'm a purveyor of filth.
You put the perv in purveyor.
Yeah. I'm not that much of a consumer. And so people kind of go, oh, you'd love this. It is so rude and disgusting. I was like, I don't know.
Oh, I read a really rude book recently.
Did you?
Very rude.
What was it?
It was called Maestra. And it was about this international... I don't want to spoil it for you.
It's okay. The print is dead to me.
An international kind of art thief, stroke, vixen.
Right.
Basically, she did out. Repeatedly.
And you were disgusted.
It was just filthy. And they're
appalled, and you couldn't stop thumbing your way through it.
I thumbed through it in a day and was appalled, but
yeah.
I just had to keep checking.
And then the next day, yeah. It's like checking your kids' sweets for poison.
It wasn't very good, but she was a filthy mare.
I feel like there's a lot of bad erotica. I'm going to write some erotica.
You can't do much worse than what's going on at the moment. Seriously.
Well, I tell you what, have a listen to this and then people can decide.
Can I ask a favour, though? Can you give them matching bras and pants? Because that was the thing that really annoyed me in 50 Shades of Grey. You spent all this money on lingerie for her. Mm-hmm. And you must have got, I don't know, 3 for 2 on pants or something, because there was no bras, just knickers.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Cheapskate.
Do you know, I don't think you're the first person to observe that.
Yeah, weird.
But what I mean by that is this is like a massive faux pas, right?
Mm-hmm. Hire a bra as well.
Idiotic.
I mean, I know you're not planning to get much use out of said undergarments, but play the game.
I never understand that whole dressing up in lingerie thing.
No, and I've said this before, if it works, it's not going to be on long.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a waste of your time. Right, Ed, have you got any music like that? Don't worry. You have. Amazing. It's going to be. I know what it's going to be. I just feel like I know what it's going to be. Go on then.
Oh,
no. I was expecting Yakety Sax. Is this from Madame Butterfly? By any chance, is that what it is? Whip on your headphones.
No, it's for Act 3 from Laboim.
Perfect. Do it.
Check him out.
Here we go. Everybody brace yourselves.
Angelica fanned herself as her train trundled through Tuscany, rolling southwards, through Europe from Paris. With each passing station, the compartment has thinned out until now only she and a well-dressed Italian man are left, Oh, I wonder what's going to happen.
I wanted to.
Paris was cold.
I reckon they're going to do it.
Paris was cold, but the Mediterranean sunshine was now burning through the window as the Tuscan landscape floated by.
Yeah, with a horde of...
Thusly.
Yeah.
Olive groves, risotto fields and lasagna trees filled the train with their heady scents.
I haven't been to Italy, so... I did once, but I was drunk.
I missed those crops. Mm. It was the man who broke the silence. "What's your name?" he purred.
Oh, good. That's good.
"Angelica," she replied, feeling herself flush. In fact, she flushed twice just in case. I know I always do.
I bet you do.
"Angelica."
This music is so weird. We might have to go for something a bit more instrumental instead of, like, the football
Change
hooligans.
Change it seamlessly. Like, I'll carry on.
Yeah, do a smooth segue. Here
"Angelica." He rolls the name around in his mouth like it's a lychee stone with a little bit of fruit left on it that he's trying to get off.
Oh, yeah.
"And what's your name?" asked Angelica, eyeing this beautiful Italian specimen of manhood with ill-concealed desire. "Gino. Gino Ginelli." "How do you do?" He reaches for her hand, boldly kissing it. Again, Angelica feels the hotness rising in her. She moves to take her hand away, but still Gino holds it. He kisses her hand again. She feels his breath hotter still than the close air around her, and wetter, and smelling a bit more of onions. It's a bit racist, that, mate. He moves his mouth up to her delicate wrist.
Lasagna.
Another kiss, the audacity. And yet she does not pull away again. Belching softly, he moves further up. More kisses. She is aflame. And so is his breath.
Oh, now, here we go.
"Please, we shouldn't," she protests. But it's all too little too late. Her hand closes around his head, holding him tighter to her as his tongue travels up her arm. It's a bit weird. He takes a deep, amorous sniff of her armpit as Angelica's inner goddess drops her kebab in amazement.
The inner goddess stuff was all 50 Shades,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, it was.
That was rubbish.
That inner goddess was an idiot.
Yeah.
His jaw closes gently on her neck. She's trembling like a shih tzu with a nervous tummy. Gino's lips brush against Angelica's, leathery as a slug that has been left out in the sun.
Oh, perfect.
Suddenly, it explodes into a hot, molten, liquid kiss that inflames Angelica's desire. Mm-hmm. He's a brute. An animal. And she's powerless but to respond to his urgent passion.
Oh, dear.
His tongue probes her mouth, dislodging bits of her lunch at first, although he rapidly moves on to her breakfast.
Tonsil stones.
God. His hand slides up her torso, tracing the contours of her swelling breasts. They swell and swell. They pop with excitement. Why was one slightly higher pitch?
There's always one slightly bigger, yeah. You know.
She gives herself to him utterly. And the fight of limbs and fabric give way to nakedness. She marvels at his sculpted body while he drinks in the curves of her ladiness. Flicking his tongue to and fro. What a weirdo. He teases her nipple from soft suppleness to stiff attention like a hard-boiled whelk. Gino scoops Angelica up, placing her tenderly on the luggage rack as he laps at her like a big sensuous monkfish. She gives out a long, low moan like this. Whoa-hey!
Whoa-hey!
Does her thighs grip him ever more tightly? He feels his eardrums perforating. Yes, she groans. Oh, Gino. Oh, Gina Ginelli. Gino clambers up to join her and her body convulses as he serves up a double chocolate sundae of love.
Yeah, they know, they understand that, right? Subtle.
Chocolate, though.
Mm-hmm.
Bit forward. She's never been loved in this way before.
Exactly.
As she reaches out to steady herself, she feels that this is a love that will never die. It remains to be seen if the same can be said for Gino, as in the throes of passion, she has inadvertently grabbed the emergency brake, and as the train screeches to a halt, his neck is instantly broken. So sensuous.
It's very sensuous. In fact, Jeff said this whole week has been very sensuous. It has been so. Poor Gino. But it's what he would have wanted.
Oh, Gino.
Italian chic. Italian cool. Chocolate fudge and chocolate nuts. Mint choc chip. Tutti frutti, what a cutie.
Yes!
Take some Gino home with you.
Oh, dear.
The Train of Love on Talk Radio.
Hop on board. Standing room only.
Shunted in the rear.
Oh, dear.
Buffet car's open. Right.
That's toilet enough. Door isn't locked.
Oh, it never... Have you noticed they've put a physical switch button
you
thing
know
now?
Why.
Because no one ever... Yeah, exactly. It's all, I get such anxiety now on those loos on trains.
You can't
with the automatic
enough.
Button doors.
No, go before you set out. That's my tip.
Oh, I have a thing every Sunday morning, right? I do the breakfast show here. And then there's something about the timing. Like, finish the show.
Because you're a vegan.
Oh, yeah. I should eat more steak.
Yeah. Back that up a bit.
And I can't make it home. Any other day, I can, you know, it's fine. I can do that. I'm grown up. But after I've finished the show, even when I've gone to the loo after the show, then I leave.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't handle it.
Is there part of you that thinks it makes the train go faster?
Well, actually, according to Newton's law, incrementally, if I were to face the rear of the train...
Your business, my friend.
Oh, we got a phone call. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, tell me what music should I use that. Tell me what music should I use that. Hang on, get...
What music should be used?
That Italian thing, very sexy.
You, it was sexy.
Have you got some sexy music there, Jerry?
Yeah, just trying to...
Hit us with it.
Yeah, go on, whack it on.
You got U2 on the go for some reason.
Whack it on. We'll tell you when to whack it off.
It's got U2 on the go.
Mm. Oh, my favourite skip ad.
Skip ad, yeah, that's the one. It always
kills
gets
the
you
mood.
In it. Yeah, those ad, they do kill the mood. Don't. Here we go.
Romeo and Juliet.
No, it's our tune, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's from Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, is that what it is? I did not know that. You're much.
Karen Bates.
Yes.
Our tune.
You should find. Sadly. Oh, what was that?
Alex Lowe.
Too much. Exploded on the mattress.
Oh,
Have a look online. Have a look online for Alex Lowe.
Dour tune or doer.
Doing dour tune.
D-O-U-R.
It's a really, really funny parody of our tune. It's fantastic. I feel like we should just play a bit. Should we just play a bit? I could.
Sadly, Jake Chapp has come to the end of his show.
That's true.
End of his week, finally. We're all set to see him again.
Oh.
I'm sure he'll be back. Are you on Sunday?
I'll be back on Sunday.
What time can we catch you, Jake?
8 o'clock, thanks for asking, Catherine.
Until when?
Until 11 o'clock, and then I'll be peeing like a horse on the 11:52 from Blackfriars.
Okay, just peeing?
Yeah, mainly.
Thank you very much, Jake, for a wonderful week.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being there, Jerry. It's been really lovely having your company all week. I appreciate
it. Okay, thank you. I'll be listening on Sunday.
Oh, bless you. I hope so. All right. You take care.
Bye.
Bye, Jerry. Have a good weekend. That's it. It's over. We did it. Thank you very much for being so merciful. I'm sorry I broke a strike. I had no idea when I was booked. Ian Lee is back on Monday from 10 o'clock, and we all look forward to his return. Catherine, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Ed,
it's been fun.
Thank you so much. And see you on Sunday. Bye.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.